Director of the KPFK Local Station Board. Today is April 18th, 10:38 a.m. This is a meeting of the KPFK LSB, and our Secretary Janine Rohn will call the roll.
And your name?
I said this is Michael Novick, the Chair of the KPFK Local Station Board.
Okay, roll call is Michael Adler.
Present.
Thank you. Alan Beek. Someone may want to try to call him. He may be having difficulty. Hold on a second. We have two more people in the waiting room. Okay, thank you. I let two more members in. Michael Adler's present. Alan Beek. I don't see him on the call. Fred Blair.
Present.
Janine, if you make me a co-host, I can let people in while you're taking the roll.
Okay. Okay. Fred Blair is present. Sandy Childs.
We had an excused absence.
Oh, correct. Thank you. And then Jan Goodman.
She's trying to connect right now.
Okay. I don't see her in the waiting room, but so Bella DeSoto.
Present.
Eric C. Jacobson.
Here.
Thank you. Avelia Jones.
Present.
Thank you. Ali Lexa.
Here.
Thank you. Barbara Marbach.
Present.
Thank you. Michael Novick.
Present.
Thank you. James Osborne.
Present.
Thank you. Robert Payne. He sometimes is just in the chat because of his technical issues where he's at. But if no one sees him, then we have Lydia Ponce.
Present.
Thank you. Lawrence Reyes.
Present.
Thank you. Rocio Rivas. I believe I saw her. She's just muted. I can see her on the Zoom. Rocio?
Star six.
Sorry, my computer froze. I'm here.
Terrific. Thank you. Paul Roberson?
He requests an excused absence. It's in Chicago.
Okay. I'm so sorry. Janine Rohn is present. Mansoor Sapa.
Hazir.
Thank you. Polina Vasiliev.
I'm here.
Thank you. Oscar Ulloa. Okay. Beth Von Guten.
Present.
Thank you. Harvey Wasserman.
Excused absence also.
Okay, I didn't receive that.
Yeah, the LSB list.
Okay. Okay, so we're missing Alan Beek, Robert Payne, Harvey Wasserman.
Jan came on the call, I admitted her.
Kiana Williams and Sandy Childs and Paul Roberson. That's... So we're at 18, and I have Jan Goodman marked as present.
And Kiana Williams requested an excused absence as well.
And Harvey Wasserman, too.
Yeah, all right, well, hang on. So having taken Roland, and we have a quorum, I'd like to ask Lydia Ponce again to do a land vacation and remind us of how to treat our relatives. That's okay, Olivia.
Not sure I see Lydia on the call anymore. Oh,
yeah, she's there. She's just muted.
I've also made her a co-host.
I asked it to mute, but I don't see a response yet.
I'm calling her.
This is Beth, to point out that she said that her computer froze up when she was trying to
No, that was Rocio. That was Rocio.
Oh, sorry. You're right.
Can we move on until she joins us?
Well, I think we should acknowledge that we're an unceded Tongva land and that we have obligations to the sovereign people of this land to treat each other and all of the creations and relatives with respect. And we should treat each other with respect on this call. And can somebody put the agenda in the chat, the draft agenda?
Yes, I'm doing it right now.
Thank you.
Michael, may I add a line to that, to the dedication?
Go ahead, thank you.
That all indigenous nations are individual, independent bodies. They're not a commonwealth, and that they require separate, individual, independent identity. And this is a very key element of their identity. Thank you.
Okay, there's a way to put the agenda in the. So we're going to put the agenda in the chat as a text rather than a PDF. That would be helpful because
if you make me co-host, I could share the agenda, but I don't know if you want me to do that.
I'm doing it right now. I'm just give me a moment to
As a Word doc. Yeah.
Not as a Word doc. I'm trying to do it as a.
I can send you the Word doc, Janine, and then you can post it. Let me send that to you right now.
It's not a matter of posting it. It's a matter of putting the text in the chat.
Yeah, copy and paste the text.
Oh, okay, got it. Thanks.
Janine, this is Jan Goodman. Do you have me as being present?
Yes, I do.
Okay, thank you. I just want to make sure. Thank you.
Okay, why don't we... read the mission statement for now while the rest of that's happening.
Okay. If I may, I'll let this settle. The Pacifica mission statement to establish a foundation organized and operated exclusively for educational purposes, no part of the net earnings of which inures to the benefit of any member of the foundation. To establish and operate for educational purposes in such manner that the facilities involved shall be as nearly self-sustaining as possible. One or more radio broadcasting stations licensed by the Federal Communications Commission and subject to their operation to the regulatory actions of the Commission under the Communications Act of 1934 as amended. In radio broadcasting operations, to encourage and provide outlets for the creative skills and energies of the community, to conduct classes and workshops in the writing and producing of drama, to establish awards and scholarships for creative writing, to offer performance facilities to amateur instrumentalists, choral groups, orchestral groups, and music students, and to promote and aid other creative activities which will serve the cultural welfare of the community. Can someone mute, please? Lots of background noise. Thank you. In radio broadcasting operations, to engage in any activity that shall contribute to a lasting understanding between nations and between the individuals of all nations, races, creeds, and colors. To gather and disseminate information on the causes of conflict between any and all such groups and through any and all means compatible with the purposes of this corporation, to promote the study of political and economic problems and of the causes of religious, philosophical, and racial antagonisms, in radio broadcasting operations to promote the full distribution of public information, to obtain access to sources of news not commonly brought together in the same medium, and to employ such various sources in the public presentation of accurate, objective, comprehensive news on all matters vitally affecting the community. This is the Pacifica mission statement. Thank you.
Chair?
All right. I think I'm unmuted now. Sorry. What were you asking, Janine?
I've been trying to cut and paste the text, and it's not working. It's just giving me a tone. So I don't know whether it's what that's about. So it is in there as a PDF.
Okay. Bella, you said you had it as a Word document. Can you try to copy out sections of it at a time and paste it into the chat?
Well, I am not on the chat. I am not on the Zoom.
Right,
I'm here.
I see. Gotcha. You're on my phone.
Let me send it to Janine.
No, that's not
send it to me, Bella, email it to me, please.
Okay.
And I'll deal with it.
Very good.
The other thing that we want to do is indicate to everyone the importance of supporting the station. We passed a motion some time back that at every LSB meeting and event that we would put out an appeal for funds for KPFK. The station will shortly be going into fund drive. My understanding from the interim general manager is I believe they're starting a fund drive on April 20th for about 3 weeks. Trying to raise quite a substantial sum to continue paying the bills. 949-548. You need to mute yourself.
Mike, Chair, that is Alan Beek. I didn't realize it until I just tried to call him to join the meeting, so I'm going to mark him as present.
Okay. So people can go to kpfk.org, click on donate, and they'd be able to make donations. The deadline is passed for becoming a member to vote on the bylaws replacement that's coming up for a vote starting June 7th, but it's not too late to become a member to vote in the LSB elections or to put yourself forward as a candidate for the local station board. And in any case, whether that's a prospect or not, the station does need your support to continue its operations. There have been, major cuts been made in the budget, but it's still a matter of meeting our expenses and having a balanced budget. And that relies primarily on listener support. So please contribute if you can. I want to remind the LSB that we did make a commitment to try to put together a matching fund for the fund drive. We weren't able to do that in time for the last one, but we have a few days in which we can put one together for this upcoming drive that starts on the 20th. So if you want to do that, please get in touch with me today, and I'll see what we can put together. I see that some of the agenda has now been added, so let's take a look at what else we have. We have, I'll read it for people who can't see the Zoom chat. This meeting would be roughly 195 minutes. That's a little over 3 hours. And we've had our call to order, land acknowledgement, roll call. We need to approve this proposed agenda. We've read the mission statement already. We've made the appeal for donations. I'd like to appoint a timekeeper when we get to that. We're going to review the code of conduct, consider excused absence requests, and approve the minutes. I believe that we don't have the minutes yet from the last meeting. Set time certain to adjourn. We hope to introduce the interim general manager. I'm not sure if he's on the call yet. He said he would try to get on. He's back in D.C. Mo Thomas is a management person at WPFW. Has had experience as an interim general manager there and has agreed to be the interim general manager for a period of time here at KPFK. mostly on a remote basis. He came into the station, was here with us most of the week. I had to return to D.C. If he's on the call, then we'll have him say more about himself. The bulk of today's agenda is Roman numeral 3, which is a report from the GM search committee that we established and elected last meeting. And we have about 60 minutes to review what characteristics, qualifications, and skill set we're looking for. And a general manager will take comments from various members of the LSB, and then we'll open up for public comment on that. Later to that, we need to authorize some funding for the committee to advertise the position according to EEOC rules and a timetable for the search process. Let me scroll down here. Yeah, we'll take, also if people want to put writing comments in writing, they can send them to lsb@kpfk.org or lsboard@kpfk.org. I believe the lsb@kpfk.org is still open to the public to submit to. If that bounces for some reason, then try lsboard@kpfk.org, which is the webmail address. We'll have a report from the Finance Committee and the Treasurer that will include some information about the budget and the current financial picture. For about 15 minutes, we'll be discussing the PNB directors' reports that have been submitted and reports from members of the various PNB committees, which include LSB members, that will include the Committee of Inclusion, the Audit Committee, the National Program Committee, the PNB Development Task Force. We'll take public comment about those directors' reports. And then we'll have our local committees. The governance committee has some motions. I think we have something from the outreach committee to try to launch our next
town hall. Outreach town hall. Hall.
Yeah, the next town hall. And take public comment on the local committee reports. I think there's an announcement of the next attempt to a community advisory board meeting. Finally, we have Roman numeral 9 is new business and adjournment. We do have a proposal from the governance committee for a separate executive session after this one ends. So we have to be careful about the time certain to consider a motion of censure against one of one delegate, so that would be taken up in a closed session.
Mr. Chair, this
yeah.
is Val, if I may be recognized. I also have a notice of a motion that will be forthcoming, but is a notice that I would like to introduce during new business.
Okay. Have you sent the motion or?
No, it's a notice that I would like to introduce for the minutes, and it will be introduced officially in May at the May Governance Committee.
Okay.
Regarding a previous 2016 motion that was passed, which is unjust towards, discriminates towards public participation in committees.
Okay, and Janine, I think you had a motion that you wanted us to consider a new business.
Yeah, I don't know whether that I distributed it to the board just a couple of minutes ago, but before the meeting started, I don't know whether that's the one Bella's referring to. But yes, I would like to place it on new business today.
Okay.
It's possible right, so we consolidate it, yeah.
Is there a motion to accept the proposed agenda?
So moved.
Okay, any objections? Okay, hearing none, can we set a time certain for adjournment? It's 11 o'clock. It's 11 o'clock now. We need to have time for a closed session after. The agenda is approximately 3 hours in duration. We've used some of that already. So 2.5 hours from now would be 1:30.
I propose 2 o'clock to close session.
Okay. Consider that a motion. Are people okay with a time certain to adjourn of 2 p.m. and move to closed session? All right, hearing no objections.
May I propose make it 12 o'clock?
I'm sorry?
Make it 12:30, and if we need, would extend.
12:30 is only an hour and a half from now. That's,
I'm sorry, 1:30, if we need, would extend. That's a long day of meetings, and we have other things to deal with.
Mr.
I'll take that as an amendment to Bell's motion, so that's what's on the floor at the moment. There are objections to 1:30 as a time certain?
I object, Chair.
Okay. All right, so I heard Monsieur make it as 1:30 with the possibility to extend, but extension is still going to require a substantial majority, but let's call the roll on that. Janine?
So I just want to be clear. We're doing a roll call
doing the roll call Mansour's amendment. If that's adopted, then we have to vote on it as the main motion.
May I be recognized, Mansour?
I don't want to have a lot of discussion. It's a waste of time.
No, there is one objection. That's about it. So we have a rules. If there's
I object as well.
Please just call the roll on the 1:30, and if it's adopted, it becomes the main motion. If it's reject, we'll go back to Bell as of 2 o'clock.
Okay. Michael Adler, 1:30, time certain to adjourn.
Yes.
Ellen Beek, 1:30, time certain to adjourn.
He may be muted because when the noise was coming, I muted him before I realized it was Alan. So I've asked him to unmute, but he hasn't. Alan, try. Yeah.
Can you
Alan,
tell him?
You can hear us. Yes. I'm saying, Alan, if you can hear us, please press *6 on your phone. Just go on with the roll, please. And if you're not speaking, please do mute yourself. There's Alan.
Fred votes yes.
Okay, Alan has unmuted himself, so can you go back to Alan?
Alan Beek, are you in favor of 1:30 certain to adjourn? Okay, I think he got mixed up because he just muted himself.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll continue. Bella DeSoto?
No, 2 o'clock.
Thank you. Jan Goodman? I don't see her on the call right now, but I'll just continue and come back. Eric C. Jacobson?
Pass.
Avelia Jones?
Yes.
Ali Lexa?
Yes.
Thank you. Barbara Marbach?
Yes.
Thank you. James Osborne?
Yes.
Thank you. Lydia Ponce?
Pass.
Lawrence Reyes?
Abstain.
Rocio Rivas?
I'll pass as well.
Okay. Myself is a no. Mansour Sabah?
Yes.
Thank you, Oscar Yoa.
Abstain.
I'm sorry, I missed your answer.
Abstain.
Abstain. Alina Vasilia?
I abstain.
Beth Van Gooten?
No.
Thank you. And now I'm going back to our Alan Beek. Are you with us on the call? Can you unmute and let us know whether 1:30 time certain to adjourn, yes or no?
I am now unmuted, I think, and I wish to go on record as not voting on this question.
Okay, so that would be an abstain, or would that be...
No, it's not an abstain. It's a not voting at all.
That's okay, abstain. Thank you.
It's present, not voting. Present, not voting.
Okay, and Jan Goodman, are you on the call? I just, that's the second call for her. Eric C. Jacobson?
I'll vote no.
Thank you. And we are going to Lydia Ponce?
No.
Okay, thank you. Rocio?
I will go with no.
Okay, and so right now we are 7 yeses, 6 noes, and 3 abstains for...
15. Yeah, this is Lawrence.
Oh, Lawrence.
May I change my vote, Chair? I changed my vote to no.
Okay, thank you. So...
So this is a tie.
Yeah, the chair votes no. We're back to Bella's motion, which is 2:00. I'd like to just approve that without objection, please. All right, hearing none, we'll set a time certain of 2:00. Thank you. Is the interim general manager on the call? I don't recognize this.
I'm just allowing 2 people in. One is Robert Payne and the other is a user. I did text Mo Thomas the information to join us in case he was traveling. So is Mo Thomas,
okay,
have you joined us? Okay.
All right, apparently not. A number of us
just joined us. Yeah.
I'll just say briefly that Mo is somebody who has a long history in public radio in general, Pacific in particular. He is a member of the management of WPFW. He stood in for as interim GM at WPFW when Jerry Paris needed surgery and is assisting with management tasks there now. Lydia Brazon, the interim executive director, appointed him as interim general manager upon the resignation of our last GM, Anil Fields, who took a position at KCRW. So Mo was here for about a week, did meet with the staff, met with some of us from governance. They have, as I mentioned, he's scheduled a fundraiser on air for the station beginning April 20th. They've made a few changes in the grid people might be aware of, but Sonali Kolhatkar is currently only putting her show on one day a week, and so the other 4 days have been filled with repeats of some shows, and then also I think decision was made to put on a COVID Race and Democracy in that 4:00 slot on Wednesdays, which is a welcome development. And Mo will be the interim general manager until we complete the search process, which we'll be discussing later, for a permanent GM. And he's at any time he joins the call, if he's able to, I think he can say more about himself and, you know, what he's hoping to accomplish. Do I hear someone? Okay. So the next item on the agenda is the GM search committee. We did establish a GM search committee and elect its members at our last meeting. The committee has met several times. I was elected chair of the search committee, so I'll report briefly about that. We posted to kpfdx.org a copy of the last job description from 2017. Not that we're going to use that but to focus people's attention on what some of the requirements of the job are, and to try to facilitate a discussion at the local station board today with our members and with members of the public regarding the search process and the characteristics, the skill set, and the qualifications that we're looking for, and the criteria that we're going to use in the selection process. The selection process is open up to a certain point, which it still is, and that point is the adoption of a job description, which will be completed by the search committee and posted to pacifica.org, kpfk.org, the other Pacifica websites. We'll send it to the affiliates, and we'll be posting ads. Part of what we're looking for today is authorization for a budget for the advertising. Typically, we required to advertise with a major metropolitan daily in the area, which historically has been the LA Times. And we also posted up to the CPB, to Current, to a number of different gender and ethnic organizations of broadcasters and journalists. And there's a list of other sites that Lawrence Ray has provided that have been used in the ED search. What we're looking for today is we'd like to have members of the LSB who are not on the search committee in particular express their opinions about essential criteria and characteristics, qualifications that you're looking for in a new GM. And then besides approving the a budget for the advertising, which we're trying to accomplish by the end of April, we would look for approval on the timetable that we're proposing, which is that we advertise it and leave it open for about a month. So it would be open for May, basically. And the committee would be considering applications and eventually conducting interviews of some of the applicants based on our assessment of the applications, and make a recommendation to the LSB at our June meeting. I think it's June 20th. So that gives us about a 3-month period that has already started, essentially. So the idea, which is listed in the, we have about 60 minutes for this. We thought we'd take about 2 minutes per LSB member, particularly the LSB members who are not on the search committee, and then maybe a minute or so for those of us who are on the search committee. To add some of the things we're looking for, and then we'll take public comment for about 10 minutes, and then we'll have about 10 minutes to adopt the motions mentioned regarding the budget authorization.
Chair?
Uh-huh, go ahead.
I just wanted to mention that Paul Roberson has joined us, so now our only absences are Harvey Wasserman, Kiana Williams, and Sandy Childs. Right. I don't know that we approved those.
That's right, I stand corrected. We did not do that. So I'll take a motion to approve the excused absence request from Sandy,
Harvey
Wasserman, and who else?
Kiana
Williams. Can we review what the reason? I'm looking, searching right now for the reasons for their absences.
So Harvey said he had some family obligations.
Kiana.
Mr. Kim,
Bella,
can I be recognized? Thank you.
Hang on a second. Excuse me, Bella, I said hang on a second. We were reviewing the excuses that people gave. Kiana Williams said she had work. Harvey Westman had a family obligation. And who was the third?
Sandy is
Sandy.
She has a respiratory infection or something.
Okay, thank you. So Sandy is an illness. Go ahead, Bella.
I would like for us to take individually each one, please. Not a blanket excuse.
Okay, I see a question in the chat. Were requests actually made? And the answer is yes, they were. They were sent to the LSB list. Robert Payne.
He's on.
130, by the way, I see. Please report. Payne is present.
Yes,
I object to taking them.
Okay. The chair doesn't think that's necessary. I'd like to entertain a motion to approve the three requests.
Mansoor would like to make that motion.
Janine to the back.
Okay. Janine, go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to say that I actually, today was a work day for me where I am. And I got up extremely early to go complete my work so that I would be available for today's meeting. It's once a month. And so I just, I would like to find out more of when somebody says that they just have to work. You know, if they're working on Sundays, then maybe they can't participate in the committee and the board meetings.
Mansoor would like to be recognized.
Go ahead, Mansoor.
Thank you. Kiana's board hopping right now, and I did this last month. It's so unnerving to be board hopping and being on the call on LSB. It just is too much attention required for this station to be on the air and no mistakes made. That's why. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Beth, go ahead.
I agree that it would be too much to be on the air and on this meeting at the same time. I also point out that Kiana Williams isn't just working. She's working for KPFK. She was elected as a staff representative from KPFK to this board and is allowed time to attend this meeting. This isn't the first time this has happened. I think we need some sort of policy from the station that if staff members are elected to the board, the priority is for them to attend their board obligations, that work obligations should be rescheduled to another time. If any work could accommodate a board responsibilities for this board, it would be KPFK. So it doesn't make sense to me. Thank you.
Mansoor would like to be recognized, if I may.
Go ahead, Mansoor.
All right, thank you. So just for everybody on LSB to know that we are short of board ops by 2 to 3 people right now. So it's a very tight schedule. And then Kiana usually doesn't work on the weekend. It used to be Ricky, and Ricky has resigned. Teddy's not with us. He has taken health issues and then another person, I believe. But anyways, we are very shorthanded in board op, and that's why Kiana's working on the weekend.
Okay, thanks. So, Beth, I would suggest you might make that as a motion to the governance. We'll consider another time. I'd like to move on the, are there any objections to approving the 3 requests for excused absences today? Okay, hearing none, we'll consider them excused. So let's go back to the question of the
Jan Goodman, may I?
Yeah, okay, hang on a second.
I was muted, and I objected. And this happens at every meeting where it's referred to governance and it does not get addressed, and this continues. And this situation does not get resolved.
Okay, Bella, I'm sorry that you muted yourself. Nobody else muted you, but in any case, that's only one objection. Jan, what did you want to say?
Could Janine or someone send me the dial-in information so that I can dial in and not use Zoom? I have to use my cell phone, and it takes up a lot more
So it is on KPFK.
To be on the Zoom, and when I looked at what I was emailed, it said dial in, and then it was blank. So
okay, Jan, if you look at kpfdx.org, it should be there. I did post it.
Then I can participate from then because.
You can participate by phone. Right now, it says you're on the phone anyway. I'm not sure.
I'm using my cell phone, but I'm on Zoom, and that, as I say, takes up a lot more time.
I'm sending it to you, Jan. Chair, can I comment? I'd like to say that Bella's correct, and it does get pushed to governance, but I will make a point of making sure that we don't forget about it at the next governance committee.
Okay, thank you. So, I'm sorry. I want to call for the orders today, which are the discussion of the general manager search process and qualifications. I think the simplest way to do this, Janine, would be if you went through the roll, starting with the people who have not, unless there's someone from the committee who wants to speak, indicate by raising your hand. Otherwise, just go through the roll alphabetically, and everybody has about 2 minutes to say what they're looking for in a general manager going forward. Okay, hang on a second, Mansoor. What I want to emphasize again is this is an open meeting. We're not evaluating any past general managers. We're looking for the qualifications, skill sets, requirements, you know, characteristics, and so on that we're looking for to lead the station going forward, and keep your marks related to that. So I see hands up from Ali, Lexa, and Bella DeSoto. Is there some reason you want to go? Bella, you if you're not on the committee, you'll just be called in order alphabetically. If there's something you need to say in advance of that?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead, Ali.
Did we establish a timekeeper?
No, we haven't. Is someone willing to do that? 2 minutes per speaker?
I would do that. That's not a problem.
Okay, thank you, Mansoor.
But should I say, like, a minute and a half?
Seconds. Give people 30 seconds notice.
30 seconds, 15 seconds, and time.
Yeah, I hate it when it's a clock on the screen. I'd rather not do that.
Yeah, no worries. I'll do that.
Just say 30 seconds. Bella, you have to unmute yourself.
Yes, here I am. Thank you. I am looking for someone with a high deal of integrity.
Okay, no, integrity, Bella, I didn't. Excuse me, Bella. We're going to go through it alphabetically. Unless you had something to say about the process, just wait your turn.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
So, Janine, just start with in the roll call order. I think
Mansoor would like to speak as a board, as a member for 1 minute.
Okay, yeah. All right. Okay. Do you want to speak before the rest? Or?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Go ahead.
Okay, so let me start my my time. All right. All I want to appeal to everybody to look in the past. We have had so many general managers being fired and quitting on us because we have demanded so much work from them. We need to maybe have less demand from paperwork, this and that, and rather let the man or the woman to do his or her job as a general manager. I understand he or she's the general manager looking over the other management team people. But I think we just need to realize that one of the biggest problems in the past that I see it for 20 years, we have always asked too much stuff from a general manager who runs out of time to do anything regarding management. Thank you. That was 54 seconds.
Okay, thanks. Is there another member of the committee that wants to speak before we go to the general body? Otherwise, you can speak during the course of it for a minute instead of 2 minutes or at the end if you wish. Okay, so Janine, please.
Michael, yeah. I am very confused. When can I speak to this issue?
You can speak when your name is called by Janine.
Okay.
Go ahead, Janine.
How much time do I have?
2 minutes.
Okay.
Jesus Christ.
Everybody clear. Members of the LSB not on the committee will have 2 minutes each. Committee members who want to speak will have a minute, and then we'll take public comment. Janine, please start the roll. You're muted, Janine.
Also, and a reminder that a sample is forwarded to the LSP. Am I speaking?
Hard to hear you. I'm sorry. What did you say?
Am I speaking? I was just reminding for the live stream that there was a description that was forwarded to the board members that they would be commenting on. Am I right?
Yeah, well, it wasn't to comment on it. It was to focus people's attention on what the job entails and to use that to try to focus their comments on the characteristics, the skill set, and the, you know.
Point of order, Chair. Please, call the names.
All right, okay, Michael fine. Adler.
Everything was emailed to everybody already.
She was saying, excuse me, Mr. Reyes, she was saying for the benefit of the stream and the listeners. So just to be clear, it's also posted to kpftx.org is the previous job description. That's not that we're not discussing that job description. That was offered as a reference, point of reference for people to make their comments about the qualifications, the skill set, and the characteristics we're looking for in a general manager going forward. Thank you. Go ahead.
Michael Adler.
I think I have nothing that is really surprising. They need to be able to have experience of having delegated, worked with nonprofits, understand radio programming, and I'd say very importantly, have some experience fundraising and know how to delegate to get people to do grants, fundraise, look for major donors. I think that's really important right now to be able to make the station financially solvent. That's it.
Thank you. Alan Beek. You'd have to unmute. You're currently muted. Alan, I see you on the call, but I see you as muted. So when I see you come off of mute, I'll come back and call on you. So I'll move on to Fred Blair.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes.
Thank you. I'd like to see a general manager that... I'd like to see a general manager that can talk to the different... people within Pacific governance and have conversations about the programming that has a sense of how to develop new radio programming that meets our mission and will attract a wider audience that can grow the audience. It has all the skills necessary to run a eclectic radio organization like Pacifica, like KPFK here in Los Angeles. These are very general statements, I'm not trying to tie down specifics at this point in time. Thank you.
Thank you. We've got Bella DeSoto now.
God.
Yes, I am here. Thank you. excuse me. I want to second what Michael Adler laid out. Fred Blair laid out some good points as well. To be able to speak to the different communities, eclectic, he said, absolutely. I am looking for someone with the necessary integrity that understands and can must adopt immediately, our mission, the foundation of our mission, the tenets of our mission, the value, the global value of the mission statement. The mission statement guides us through the programming, through the staffing, through governance. And these are the three elements that make up the radio station. And what the radio station has been lacking for years is our news department. So also I would require someone with a keen eye understanding of bookkeeping, besides grant writing capability, which is a very critical area. The management of the station is absolutely paramount.
30 seconds.
That a person brings in some accounting acumen to understand a budget and to remain within that budget. And not to go beyond that. And that's what sadly has happened. This is why we are where we are in the financial funk that we're in, because no budget has been observed. Thank you.
Thank you, Jan Goodman. I have a few people that have rejoined the meeting.
Can you hear me?
With, oh, great. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay.
Yes.
So the all of the things that are in the present job description and the things that other people have mentioned all are important in my opinion. In addition, something that actually has been taken out but needs to be put back in is demonstrated experience in team building and team commitment to within the organization of KPFK and Pacifica among the staff, building that spirit among the staff, and also the KPFK community and among the staff nationally, having relationships nationally. And, but what we need to have is demonstrated ability and experience in this facet of it. And I also want to agree with Bella and even take it a step further, that we want someone who not only has all of this experience elsewhere, but knows and embraces 30. The Pacifica mission. Does that mean 30 seconds more, or I'm
30
finished?
Seconds left.
Okay.
You got 30 seconds.
Knows and embraces the Pacifica mission, preferably with showing how they have that has been part of their life and experience, work or not work.
10 seconds.
But in general, this is extremely important for a successful GM at the station. Thank you very much.
Hi, Eric C. Jacobson.
He's
in
mute,
Eric. Okay.
Eric, you need to unmute.
Sorry about that. I've got to get back to my place. Okay. Some of you have heard this before, but I'll repeat it for those who haven't and for the stream. I believe we need to recruit an otherwise qualified, currently regionally known in the Western United States, or preferably nationally known, distinguished progressive leadership personage to serve as GM of KPFK. I believe a current public figure of such a leadership profile, experience, character, and skill sets is needed in order to elicit from the outset of her or his tenure the respect and confidence of all, emphasize all, the stakeholders of the KPFK community, including listeners, elected KPFK governance representatives of listeners and staff, and all station personnel, as well as the Pacifica IED and the PNB. I also want to briefly say that I think that the 2017 job description is stylistically in particular, but also substantively, needs a complete rewrite, not just because it's out of date, but because it doesn't have the poetry we need. This is a position that is unique in the world. It's one of five stations, GM of the Pacifica Network Foundation, one of its five stations. It's a
30.
Very, very special job, and the job description needs to have the poetry of Pacifica as well as the prose description of the responsibilities, which need to be prioritized. I agree with Mansoor.
50.
I agree with Mansoor that there needs to be a priority on what we're most looking for in the GM among the myriad of duties listed in the 2017 description. Thank you.
This is Alan Beek. Are we all taking turns?
Yes, Alan, why don't you go ahead? I couldn't get a response when we called your name.
So, Michael, you better explain. It's only 2 minutes.
Yeah, you have 2 minutes, Alan. Go ahead now.
Well, I won't take 2 minutes. I just think we should ask the help and the advice of the president of the JFC that made us our big loan. I think he would recognize the need and understand what it takes, and I think he probably has the contacts and the know-how to locate somebody who could do it for us. That's all I have to say.
Thank you. We don't have Avelia, so Ali Lexa.
Yeah, Avelia's here.
I'm here.
Oh, I'm sorry, Avelia.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
As I stand now, I want to see someone who really has had experience as a general manager of radio, preferably, but something, and look at that record. I want to also see someone who's got a demonstrated positive behavioral model or experience. I want someone who has some kind of secondary language outreach, some kind of way. I would like to see someone who has the evidence of no previous financial problems at work, or, you know, we can't say personally, but if it's a rat, it's a rat. Okay. And number, the other one, a mission, about participating or some background in the arts or community welfare or something that's an outreach kind of personality. I agree with the global values, expressed by Bella, and, the experience in team building by Jan, and the leadership profile, and, that's in general where I stand right now. But I could broaden listening to other opinions. Okay.
Thank you, Ali Lexa.
Unmute.
Hello? Yes. So I agree with what most people have said. I'm really happy to hear that you're looking for someone with radio and management experience. Just want to remind everyone, this is a public radio station. What I really want to stress is that we don't repeat the failed experiment of hiring someone with no radio experience that happened a few years ago. Someone that came in and gutted popular programming, caused numerous FCC violations. And
okay, we did ask that people refrain from evaluating prior GMs in this process.
I'm not evaluating. I'm just saying.
Not evaluating prior GMs.
I'm just saying we don't repeat the mistake of hiring someone with no radio management or fundraising experience. We should hire someone based on radio, fundraising, nonprofit, and financial experience, not someone based on political alliances, factional friendships, things like that. Let's please avoid the disaster that happened a few years ago. Thank you.
Thank you. Barbara Marbach?
Yes, this is Barbara. I would just like to ditto what Ali just said. I don't think I need to repeat it, but I totally agree. Thank you.
Thank you. James Osborne?
Yeah, I... Hold on just a second. So I think what we ought to do is hire the most experienced radio professional that we can find. Somebody who knows how to build the ratings up. And someone who knows how to recruit and manage good broadcasters. And someone who has a strong character and is able to resist micromanagement by people who want to interfere in building a really strong radio station and think they know more than a radio professional. So those are my goals.
Thank you, Robert Payne.
I think Robert might have to type his comments in. He's maybe you can put them in the chat and somebody can read them. I think he has problems with audio historically.
Okay, so I'll move on until maybe he surfaces in the chat. So we have Lydia Ponce.
Good morning, relatives. I want to uplift everything everyone has said. However, I'd like to add that we need to be on the same definitions in the language of equity and the social and racial uprising that we are faced with a pandemic global. And I think that if we can arrive at those definitions, if we have the sameness in that with a little bit of challenge to keep our minds open, to be able to work with each other, and we have to exhibit that that strength as well here on this board. So I'm going to say that, you know, there has to be time management in relation to what is required of this job, not just the job description updates, which I agree with. However, we need to really emphasize that we can't have, we have to have our reports as a board when we need them to be able to help and assist and support moving forward and supporting the GM. So that's what I'd like to add. We have to do the paperwork in order to be a nonprofit. So whatever that looks like in the scheme of working together, we need to build the healthy, transparent and accountable infrastructure together with staff and the board and the GM. Thank you.
Thank you. Lawrence Reyes.
Yeah, I would say that what I would like to see in the GM is that they have some acumen and some involvement in the community, that they have to get into the community in order for us to uplift our listener base and increase it. Because when we uplift our listener base and increase it, then that would take care of the ratings, because we would have actually people listening and not people moving away from the station, because the irrelevant programming that currently exists or perceived exists. So I would like somebody that not just meets with major donors, but also meets and gets involved inside the community and reaches into the community in order to increase our listener base, which at this point of reckoning, the racial reckoning that is happening in society, that's one of the things that they have to do. And we have to bring in people much younger than ourselves into the equation, because we need to build on the future. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Rocio Rivas.
Hi, everyone. Well, I agree with the majority of, if anything, what everyone has commented. I specifically do agree with Lawrence. That was one of my points I wanted to make. I think we need to have somebody, a general manager, who is connected to the community. I also agree with Jan that it has to be someone that in some way, shape, or form incorporates the mission of Pacifica in their personal lives and sort of sees life in that perspective, or at least in the perspective of their responsibilities or their job or just their overall life philosophy. I also agree, I think it was Mr. Jacobson who mentioned that the job description needs a lot of work. I was looking at all of them and and it does, it needs to incorporate the vision and the poetry of the essence of KFKFK. It's a very unique station, and it needs to have somebody who understands that, somebody who's a leader. And I do want to agree that it needs to have somebody who has experience, vast experience, professional experience, someone who's respected, somebody who's known, somebody who is going to bring a vision and is going to incorporate the newest generation and has and can think outside of the box. And I just want to say that I'm taking notes on what every single person is saying, and I am taking at heart what everyone is saying in order to incorporate that into the community. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you. Paul Roberson. I'm not sure he's still on. Is he? I'm looking for him. I know he came on for a period of time. Okay. I don't see him. Going on video now to, so for me, and I am on the committee, I agree with, a lot of what people are saying. I had originally thought that it perhaps wasn't as important that they come from, specifically nonprofit radio. I think nonprofit is probably more important than radio. I just see that we are listing a lot of attributes. And so what I wanted to just say is I manage in a creative environment as well. And I think that if you have somebody who is good at managing nonprofit in a creative, perhaps even just broadcast, environment, you may have the groundwork that you need, and that if somebody is a good proven track record of problem solving, that's important as well. And also a big push for somebody who understands social media and how we can take advantage of the younger audience that we could have. Thank you.
Chair, I'd like to read Robert Payne's statement.
Please do.
Okay. Robert Payne writes, "I watch the struggles of the New York Times and the Washington Post to remain in business. They are now going beyond print and into video and audio. All media must be all possible venues. I hope the general manager will be aware of the media landscape and exploit all media opportunities to reach the greatest number of listeners."
Thanks.
Okay, so I'm moving on to my tour.
Already Jan Goodman. When you get Harvey Wasserman, I wanted to add his comments.
Okay, thank you. Is he is he listening, or is he just forwarded them to you?
He just forwarded them briefly to me. Yes.
That's fine. Go ahead.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm sure already spoke, by the way, Janine.
Oscar Ulloa.
He ordered him before the meeting.
Yeah, good morning. For me, the main thing, and funny enough, while we were having our meeting yesterday of this GM search, I was in the middle of a protest in order for justice about a young lady who was killed and where the police investigation is being a total mess. In that place, I just saw a couple of local press guys, maybe a camera from Channel 7 or something like that. And to me, it's really important that we do, that we offer a voice to the people out on the streets asking for social justice. So for me, it's really important that whoever it goes into the stack understand the diversity and the social needs of our community is definitely somebody who needs to be involved and aware of what the problems are into our community.
Thank you. Polina Vasilyev?
Yes, thank you. Let me, actually, I'm not going to use video. My connection is poor. So I think that it's important to note that we are community radio, and we're part of a vast network of other community radios across the country and around the globe. So just for the Pacifica Network, it's more than 200 community radio stations across the country. It's a different experience from, let's say, public radio. So I would like to see someone with experience managing and growing, demonstrated experience growing community radio station, if possible. Demonstrated experience managing teams of volunteers and working with volunteers and paid staff alike, and fostering working collegial relationship between paid and unpaid staff in that sense. So that's something that I would love to see, as well as experience developing a multimedia platform, as has been mentioned prior. I think, but always in the context that Oscar mentioned, in the context attuned to the issues relevant to our communities, that there are many. They are linguistically diverse. They are socioeconomically diverse. They're ethnically diverse. And to be able to have a vision, bring a vision that is truly a vision for a community radio, remembering 25. That we are, yes, that we are the second radio market in the country. And, you know, and for Spanish speakers, we're the first radio market in the country. Thank you.
Thank you. Beth Van Guten.
Thank you. Yes, I assume that we need someone with an orientation toward social change, social justice, community orientation. Beyond that, in order to serve that vision, I think we need someone with a standard professional nonprofit management skill set, which I think has been sadly missing to this point. I think it's how we've gotten ourselves so far off track. We need someone with staff management experience, time management, understanding the concept of delegation, that they're not expected to do everything themselves, but they are expected to be accountable for all functions within, that's what management is. Cooperative, collaborative, accountability is big on my list. Look to the board as collaborative partners, cultivate and integrate that relationship as an asset, not an obstacle. Thank you.
Thank you. We heard from Robert Payne. Michael, do you want to go before the Harvey Wasserman comment is read?
No, let Jan read Harvey's comments, and I'll speak briefly.
Yes. Okay. So the first thing that he asked is if we could extend the time period for not only him but others to put in additional comments, so that people would have time to think about them and if they had additional thoughts, or to forward them to the committee and to the LSB. So that was his first most important thing. The second thing is that he wanted the GM to be someone who could take KPFK into who not only has radio experience, but they could take KPFK into multimedia platforms. That is to say, so that we already do streaming and podcasting, but using all of the multimedia platforms, video, TV, and other forms, Twitter, whatever, so that we really come into the 21st century in a contemporary, powerful way. Thank you. But especially, can we discuss continuing the, excuse me. Am I on?
Yes, that was still audible. Thankfully, we're only on Zoom and not on the airwaves.
I'm afraid I muted her.
Hello, I'm sorry. How much of this did you hear or not hear? Because I wasn't talking to anybody. Okay, and I'm sorry about cursing. I thought I was like had lost the call and I was just talking to myself. Thank
we
you.
We heard all of it. Am I still audible?
Okay.
Am I audible?
Yes.
Yes. All right. There we go.
Yes.
All right. I just want to take about a minute and then we have some hands up and we'll take public comments. So just to clarify, we were taking comments from members of the LSB. We'll have 10 minutes of public comment on this. We want to vote on the authorization for funding and the timetable. Their comment is always available to lsb@kpfk.org, and we encourage all members of the LSB and the public to add additional written comments about what they're looking for. So I want to make my 1 minute. There are three priorities for me. The first one is that we need somebody with experience with nonprofits and with radio, but in particular understands the unique nature of Pacifica and KPFK as not just public radio, but as free speech, community-oriented radio, and is committed to that and to realizing the full potential of that. I think we need somebody who can lead by example in collaborative efforts with the staff and governance and in inspiring the staff to collaborate with each other in fulfilling the mission. I think that's critical. I think there have been long-standing breaches between the paid and unpaid staff, frankly, at the station. That is the responsibility of management to overcome. And I think I'm looking for someone in particular also who sees the democratic governance of KPFK and of Pacifica, in which listeners and staff participate in the election of governance and the oversight of management as a strength of Pacifica and not an obstacle or a weakness. And I think there's somebody who can really embrace that and use that to empower the station to really fulfill its mission through engagement with the community. I agree with all the comments that were made about the need for multimedia and use of social media. Expertise would be very welcome in that area. I agree with Rocio's comments about the type of leader is necessary. I agree with the comments about the need for integrity and capacity to manage the finances, which are critical because, frankly, our finances have gotten weaker and weaker over the course of quite a number of years now. And that's a measure of the lost audience, the lost participation, the lost membership, and that we have to have someone who is prepared to lead a process of strategic rebuilding that engages the community, engages the staff, paid and unpaid, engages governance in tracking a path forward that can be measured and hold himself or herself and ourselves accountable for following through to success. I think it's critical that we have sometimes called SMART,
This timed.
Okay, thank you. I see a hand up from someone who's on an iPad. Oh. It just says iPad. I don't know if it's a member of the
Mansoor
public.
Mansoor would like
member.
To be recognized briefly.
Okay, you already spoke, Mansoor.
I'm not going to speak about this. You mentioned people can send us emails. In the subject line, they should put GM search.
Good idea. Thank you.
Yeah.
But there's someone who has had their hand up for a long time, and it only says iPad. They need to unmute themselves. I don't know if that's a member of the board or who didn't identify themselves or a member of the public.
And how much time do they have?
I want to get a stack for the public. We have 10 minutes of public comment, which will divide accordingly depending on how many people want to make comments. So for now, iPad, just identify yourself.
Yes. Hi, Michael. I'm sorry. I'll change my name.
Okay.
It's Ruth.
Well,
I just wanted to add a comment that we are listener supported, and whoever the manager is going to be, obviously, I think it's important that they not have an attitude of top down. This is a very, herding of cats kind of station, but all the cats have important things. And in terms of listeners, they need to be responsive to listener comments, which previously was done, but in a very cursory way. They need to be able to triage listener comments, complaints, or whatever to appropriate committees or appropriate people so that we are responsive to the public who is supporting us. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Ruth. So I didn't actually want you to speak right then because I wanted to try
I'm sorry.
That's okay. Just to be clear, I want to try to figure out how many people want to speak so we can allocate the time accordingly. So if you're interested in speaking, that's okay. We'll follow up. If you can either in the chat or using star six, I believe, star nine, is it, to raise your hand if you're on a phone. I'd like to get some sense of how many people want to speak who are in the public, and we'll allocate the time. We have up to 10 minutes of public comment at this point. So far, I only see one hand up. O222, you want to unmute yourself and speak for a minute? Go ahead.
Yes. This is Andrew Weiss, listener member, a long time. For a general manager, first of all, I really appreciate all the comments from all the board members. Very impressive. If we can find a manager that fits all that stuff, we'll be truly blessed and served well. As a listener, some points I'd like to see in general are transparency, accountability to the listeners and to the staff, especially to the listeners who fund the station and who the station serves, collaboration with all the stakeholders, as someone said, from the board, including the listeners, including the board members, the LSB, and especially all the staff members, as well as team building, as one of the LSB members said as well. I would like to see a manager who participates and attends LSB meetings, who does regular reports to the listener, communicates with the listeners very well and involves them. I'm really impressed with the communication coming from our interim general manager about including the listeners, listening to the listeners, and I would take that as a reference, a goal for a new general manager. Thank you for allowing me this time.
Are there additional public comments?
I'm going to lower Andrew Weiss's hand.
Yeah, I'll do it. I thought I saw another hand briefly, but then it disappeared.
There's a caller number 3 that has their hand up.
Sure, go ahead, caller number 3, call on user 3. It's a phone call.
You're okay. Up. Thank you, and hello, everyone. I think you'll find that all the things that people say they want are quite similar, regardless of who's saying them. I think the problem, if you will, comes when we actually have someone in place. I think that boards have a tendency to confuse management and governance. I think management, when you put someone in place, you have a right to expect honesty and respect, and you have an obligation to provide until they prove unworthy, or until or unless they prove unworthy, support for the things they bring to the table. And it is not an easy balance. Many of us have been around far longer than anybody in management. So management, new management especially, comes in with a real disadvantage where everyone around them has a history that they don't have. So it's a balancing act, but it's a necessary thing. Thank you.
Thank you. We still have more time for public comment if anybody wants to make them.
Sasha Stack.
Go ahead. Is that holy?
Yes, holy, yeah, holy. Sorry, I was logged in with a Google account. Thanks. Yeah. Okay, yeah. So I agree with most. Hello, somebody else? Please mute yourself.
Yeah, can I be on the stack? I'm on the...
Sure, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
After Sasha. Go ahead.
Sure.
Thank you. Somebody else in the background still I could hear. Please mute yourself. Bella? Hello. Okay.
Go ahead, no. Please.
Okay, I agree with most everyone. However, in terms of hiring a, quote, professional expert type person, yeah, that's going to always lend itself to, like, executive privileges top down. So we're totally different. We should be different. We should not follow all the same corporate models that are, you know, hierarchical power structures, vertical, you know, the things that should be vertically integrated are our media apparatus, our outlets. We should have multimedia, of course. That's like, if we don't do that, it's like saying, well, I don't want to have a website on the internet. I don't want to be involved in the technical, you know, revolution, which is ubiquitous now. So anyway, I just want to explore, put out the possibility of looking at collectivizing responsibilities. What if we could actually employ ourselves as volunteers within the structure of the executive decision-making responsibilities of general management, where it could be a collectives of 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 people making decisions and always having a constant interface with the board, with the listeners, with the volunteers, et cetera. Just a thought. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. I think the next one is Grace. Sounded like Grace.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
I actually was going to say more or less what the last commenter said, and that is that we have to be very careful when we're talking about experience, because radio experience is 80 to 90% music-oriented. Commercial radio is completely corporate. Geared to the advertisement dollar, NPR style radio, which is where many of our applicants come from, depends 1/3 or 30% or so on major donors, another 30% on corporate underwriting, and community radio station experience, which is closer to the Pacifica model. Generally speaking, the management people from those radio stations are used to extremely small budgets to the tune of $100,000 to $200,000 a year. So they don't necessarily have the experience needed for Pacifica. And when we look at experience, we need to think of the movers and shakers that have pushed the society, whether for the good or the bad, into a new realm, have had no experience. I'm talking about Elon Musk, Zuckerberg, the tech titans who've made a new world for us, and with absolutely no experience. So I think we need, and look at AOC, Time. Alexandria Cortez. She was a bartender, but she had leadership qualities. So I think that we have to look at the downside of the of professional leadership experience as well.
Thank you. Okay, so thank you. I think that was the last public comment that I can see that anybody wanted to make, and we do need to carry out some business. So the first thing was a request from the General Management Search Committee, General Manager Search Committee, for an appropriation of $1,500 from the LSB to carry out the advertising necessary. This includes ads with Daily Times and Current in particular, both of which are somewhat expensive. The general EEOC rules require that we advertise in some general circulation publication in our metropolitan area. And historically, that's been the Times. Current is one of the main sites for news. We have a list of other sites that we're working on, including Women in Communications, the National Association of Black Journalists, Hispanic journalists, Asian Pacific Islanders, gay, lesbian, gay, LGBT, and so on. So it's a fairly wide array. Some of it's been posted to a Google Drive. If you want access to it, you can let me know. But essentially, it follows the pattern. The Lawrence Reyes provided a number of possibly free sites also that were developed in consultation with Livingston Associates for the ED search. And so we're going to take advantage of all of those. We do want to post the position widely, obviously in different places that will not cost, but we do have those expenses. So this is basically a motion from the committee. It doesn't require a second. Are there any objections to authorizing the expenditure of approximately $1,500 for that advertising budget? Okay, hearing none, I think we can consider that as approved. I see a couple of notes about the how to contact.
Just a minute, it takes a while to get unmuted.
Okay, sorry.
I hear you're going to spend a lot of money.
We're asking for an authorization of about $1,500, Alan. We required by EEOC, the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, to advertise in a major metropolitan newspaper for an opening like this to ensure that, the EEOC rules are met. So that's usually the LA Times. We've done it before many times, both GM and PD. We advertise in Current, CURRENT. It's the main sort of industry job listing publication. That's also requires several hundred dollars for funding. And there's an array of other publications in which basically to do a full kind of affirmative action job search. To get
the amount of money that was being approved is $1,500. Is that right?
Yes, that's right.
Okay, I didn't hear that. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, so any objections to that?
Michael, Eric, yes? Give a sec briefly.
Go ahead, Eric.
Not exactly an objection, but it seems to me that the ads themselves would have to be, by definition, much more economically written.
Yes.
Than anything like the 2017 amount of verbiage. Do we want to include a little allocation and or extra appropriation for somebody who can make those ads sing a little bit better? Because we're doing everything ourselves, and this is an art. And particularly given our mission and our uniqueness, I think we really have to put a good foot forward in these ads so that the applicants understand the level of not just skills, but leadership that we seek. Just a thought.
Most of the ads, you're kind of paying by the word. The ads, typically we have a one sentence, one line, maybe a three sentence, and a little bit longer, depending on what we can get in. But they basically.
Kevin, you can't even go check with the manager, but I wasn't sure why.
I'm sorry. Somebody please mute themselves.
I got my hand up in the chat, Chair.
Okay, thank you. Let me finish what I was saying. It's hard to see the entire screen of who's on the call. Basically, the ads are going to be one line or two lines. They're not display ads. They're short listings that refer people to the job description, which will be posted on Pacific.org and KPFK.org, and invite people to submit an application. And the job description is going to be the main place that we try to sing or be poetic about what we're looking for. Go ahead, Lawrence.
Thank you. And we have a committee. That's going to revise the job description. And we have very educated, talented people on this committee that could turn to revising the job description. Rocio has volunteered to head up the committee. I'm going to work with her, and others are going to work with her. So I think we need to depend on turn to ourselves and depend on our experiences instead of farming it out. Thank you.
Okay, I want to try to wrap up. Pauline, you have your hand up. Is this about the question of $1,500?
Yes,
okay,
it is.
Go ahead.
I believe that the ads that will be published in paid spaces will be short, and they will, I'm sure, point people to kpfk.org, where our more, our more expanded version of what they're looking for will be available. So I don't think that's a problem. That's all. Thank you.
Mansoor wanted to be recognized.
Go ahead, Mansoor.
All right. Thank you, Michael. By the way, we did it right on hour. It's 1 hour, 4 minutes right now for this topic. But last 3 years ago, we used $1,500 for those who weren't involved then. We used $1,500 then, so we haven't added any extra penny to the search. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. So I really don't think anybody's objecting to the expenditure, and I will authorize it. I did speak briefly with Lydia Brazon, IED, who said that you would make the Pacifica credit card available because most of the purchases take place online. They just want an immediate credit card. So I'll work on that with her once we get the, you know, the committee will have a list of places in which to advertise, and we'll try to keep it within that limit. The other question was the time frame. Just to clarify again for people, what we're talking about is the committee will be meeting again a week from today. It's posted to KPFTX. That will still be an open meeting, probably by Zoom. That's Sunday evening, the 25th, at which we will finalize the job description. I'm willing to work on a draft, and I guess Rocio is as well. We can try to combine our efforts at that meeting. We'll also pin down the final choices of places to advertise. We've been investigating the exact rates, and Mansoor and I have been working on that and sharing it with people, as well as the list that Lawrence Reyes came up with from the PNB for the ED search. And we also looked at the ED job description that was put together for their search. That has some interesting points. So we'll synthesize all that, and we'll put it into effect in the week, last week in April. We'll try to get the announcement. We will have the announcement posted to KPFK.org, KPFT.org, and the rest, Pacifica.org. We'll send it to the affiliates and so on, and hopefully some of them will post it as well. And we'll take advantage of all the free listings we can find, commensurate with the kind of person we're looking for. We don't want to be flooded with pointless job descriptions. Sometimes when you call a general manager, you get people who have experience managing retail outlets that we're not interested in wasting our time looking at. But the timetable then would give us about a month. We would basically have during the month of May, we would be taking applications and looking at them and starting to screen them. And by the end of May, we would close the application period. It would be announced in the application itself, in the announcement or the job description. And that will give us a few weeks in which to finalize interviews with the, you know, the top candidates that we come up with in discussions in the committee. And all of that material would be available to the LSP. We would make a recommendation from the committee to the LSP. We'd have to have an executive session for that because it's confidential personnel matters. So at our June 20th meeting, third Sunday in June of the LSP, we would schedule a session at which the LSP can review all of that material and come to a conclusion about a pool. Historically, it's been 3 to 5 candidates submitted to the executive director who makes the final decision. And so that's the timetable we're talking about. And if there's no objections to that, we're going to proceed with it.
Sasha, staff.
Okay. I want to hear from members of the LSP first, but then we'll come back to you, Sasha.
May I be recognized, Mansoor?
Yeah, go ahead, Mansoor.
We timed out on this one. It was 1 hour. We've gone like 1 hour, 10 minutes already.
Okay. Let me see where we had additional public comment in the agenda. I'd have to go back to it.
Michael, the next public comment is after the finance and treasurer report.
Okay, thank you. All right, we're going to move on then because we're at time and we have a time certain. We'll come back to you, Sasha, and we'll get to the next public comment. Thanks. So what is the next thing on the agenda is the finance committee, right?
The treasurer report. And okay. Then the Finance Committee report.
Okay. Fred Blair, do you want to give us a report as treasurer and from the NFC?
Chair, may I be recognized? Am I continuing timekeeping or I'm done?
If you could keep track of time for the agenda items, that we did have times in the agenda. Go back to in the chat, you'll see it, or if you have it on your computer.
Okay,
the
PDF. All right.
Thank you. Fred?
Michael? Yeah. How many minutes do I have on this?
I think we, what was it, 15 minutes for the whole thing, including the finance 15. Committee? Yeah.
So I'm
maybe
just,
take about.
Go ahead.
Take about five for the Treasury report and the NFC, and then we'll get hear a little bit from the committee and then proceed.
Okay. I wrote up my Treasurer's report last night, and I'm just going to read from it at this point. And I'll send it out later. At the KPFK Finance Committee on Wednesday, April 14th, the station business manager Barry Brooks gave a report on the KPFK finances for April. The KPFK operational bank account balance has $81,946 on Tuesday, April 13th. I expect this balance to be under $20,000 by the end of the month, April 30th. KPFK's new general manager, Mo Thomas, attended the Finance Committee meeting on Wednesday and announced a new fund drive to start on April 30th and run through the third week or so of May. This is necessary because the because the PPP2 loan money is now almost gone. The goal for the April fund drive is $650,000. For the last year, KPFK has been doing a fund drive once a month, and 1 month off with regular programming. This has led to an average monthly income of $200,000 on average per month since March of 2020. But because the monthly expenses are greater than income, this has led to a deficit of $80,000 to $100,000 a month in the same time period. This has led to a $700,000 deficit for fiscal year 2020. So far, fiscal year 2021 has seen a profit because of the government PPP2 money, but this is now gone. The PPP2 money was supposed to last 3 months, but only be used for payroll, but it's now been spent in 2 months, and I don't know where exactly on what. The last three fund drives of fiscal year 21 have been pretty consistent in their drive daily average dollars raised at about $12,000 per day. This daily average is now at its lowest point in the last 4 years. And I have, in my Treasurer's report, I have, tables for the fund drive, statistics for the last 3 years. So it's necessary to, my report ends at this point, but it's necessary for us to do a fund drive at this point because, our money is running out and our expenses, there are certain expenses that have to be paid. So, when the fund drive starts, the money from that fund drive will go directly into our operational bank account, and we'll have money to start paying some of our expenses. I'm not convinced that the goal of $650,000 can be reached in a 3 week or 21 day fund drive, but we're now in new territory. We have new management, and we'll have to see how the fund drives go. We'll have to see how the changes in staffing levels are going to affect fund drives. As far as my analysis is gone, the fund drives have been pretty consistent for the last three fund drives. They haven't changed very much. I'm gonna stop at this point and open it up to questions, Michael.
Okay, I had one point of clarification. My understanding from what Mo Thomas said was he was talking about a fund drive starting on April 20th. Maybe somebody else could correct me, or because you said the 30th.
No, I said the 20th. I'm sorry. I said the 20th. which is, I believe, next Tuesday.
Yeah, okay. You may have meant to say the 20th, but you said the 30th. But that is the case. The 20th is correct. So it's the 20th for about 3 weeks is what he said, into May, in other words.
Right. And with it,
thank you.
And let me answer that. And with a daily average of about $12,000 per day, 21 days would bring in about $360,000 in pledges. That's far below. That's about half of what the $650,000 goal is. I assume that the goal of $650,000 has to do with what the necessary funds to pay all of KPFK's operating expenses. Okay, next question.
I see Pauline has a hand up.
Sasha Stapp.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, am I being recognized here?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, I just wanted to mention that, yes, this upcoming fund drive is going to be quite a new experience. And I really hope that all paid and unpaid programmers are willing to collaborate in the best way possible. I also want to mention that Mo Thomas was involved in a very successful fund drive at WPFW very recently. They actually overshot their goal by maybe even 100%. And so, I mean, maybe you have something to learn from them. Of course, they're a different radio market. They have a different grid, a different relationship with their listener base, et cetera, et cetera. But still, I'm hopeful that that we can do what needs to be done. And also, importantly, once again, to reiterate, this is the time for everybody, for all hands on deck. And that means everybody who has a show or contributes to a show, please make yourself available in whatever capacity you can to collaborate with this fund drive.
Pauline,
thanks. I want to reiterate what I said. Yeah, hang on a second, Fred. I want to reiterate what I said about putting together a matching fund from the LSB to stimulate listener donations during this upcoming fund drive. So I'll send out an email about that to everybody and see if we can get some pledges together for this fund drive and make that a kind of matching fund that would encourage listeners to donate.
May I be recognized on this topic?
Yeah, Fred first and then Mansoor.
Paulina, I'm hopeful also that the changes that Moer is implementing will have a positive effect on the fund drive. But from my rational side of my mind, we'll just have to see what happens. That's the proof of the pudding. Mansoor?
I was going to make a comment on the Michael's asking for donation from LSB members. Michael, why don't we just make it $100 per person? It's really not that much, and we can do a $2,400 match one day of the week and be happy about it.
Okay, people should consider that. I didn't want to set a dollar amount on it, but, you know, people can take that into consideration. Thank you.
Minimum of 100.
Many people are already donating in different ways, but your point is taken. Thank you. Is there more from the Finance Committee?
Well, there's this, yeah, the chair of the Finance Committee, that was the treasurer.
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Bella. Yeah, go ahead, Bella.
Can you hear me? Okay.
Yes, go ahead.
Yes, thank you to Fred for that rendition. Let me explain something that as of September 30th, 2020, we ran a deficit of close to 700,000. We are heading to even a much higher situation at the trend we're going. For the last 5 months of the fiscal year, which started October 1st, 2020, we are at a deficit of 167,249. And the reason being is that the monies that were allocated from the second PP2 funding, government funding, which is payroll protection payments, these funds were already spent. They were to cover at least 2.5 months of payroll. and that has already been spent. So we are not sitting pretty. And what concerns me now from this new IGM, even though he heard, I invited him to the Finance Committee. He attended, great. So did Terry Guy, so he can give us clarity. And why is it that we cannot get obtain the cost of the overhead employed whenever we do a fund drive, the resources utilized. So when we hear that we earned, that we brought in such a number, no, that is not a realistic number because we have to reduce it by the overhead. And we have not been able to get those numbers. So this is how we have been operating. The other thing is that I am very concerned that he set such a high goal, which is unrealistic, $650,000. The last one in February was not good, $700,000. What will change now? And then we are having the same situation right now, even though some homes have been taken off. We have repeated programming. And those programs, when they're rebroadcasted, they're not announced as rebroadcast. It is an insult to our listeners. They're always complaining. So we have different issues here. And we have got to trim down the fat with the personnel. I'm sorry to say that we have to continue doing that. If most stations can operate with a skeleton staff, then we can do so as well. We've had 35 staff, paid staff. This cannot be sustained. So cuts are being made not soon enough, and we cannot continue at this trend. So I'm very concerned for the 3 weeks of a $650,000 goal. This seems unrealistic with tons of rebroadcasts. We need to regroup our programming grid and come up with different options. This is the only way to shift away from where we are. What has been done in the past does not work. So let's move forward. Thank you.
Janine, to the staff.
Go ahead.
I thought that we received the LSB received in the last 24 or 48 hours, something that like a newsletter from Pacifica that claimed that the budgets had all been cut by the 30%. Is that true? Do we know that?
Chair, this is Lawrence.
Okay, let me answer. Can I answer?
I'm sorry, Bella. Excuse me, Bella. That was from the PNB. Let Lawrence answer.
Timekeeper. Okay. We are on time in this session, Michael.
Janine?
Yes.
I will be addressing that in my director's report, and the other directors could edify you as well.
Okay. Can I follow up?
We just have a few seconds left, Janine.
Okay. Well, I'm just curious if Bella's been informed of the status, the finance chair.
Not totally, because it does not equate with the reality on the ground. And if 30% would be simply for staff, then the rest of the expenditures need to also be cut. But all along I've been saying that 30% is not what we need. We need far more than that. And I called for a 70%, and that was last year. So that's where we are right now.
Okay. And there I just wanted to be clear. Okay.
And there are many other issues that I have no time to cover now, of course.
Okay, I believe we have our next period of we have a period of public comment here, or is it not till after the PNB directors?
Sasha Stack.
If we're moving on, it is public comment.
It's after the directors.
I'll take Janine as the authority on this question. Go ahead, Sasha.
There is another director's report that needs to be rendered.
Yeah, Michael, I'm sorry. Okay. I was wrong. Right. It's okay. After the director's reports, the next public comment.
Okay, so we'll hear from the PNB directors and a few PNB committees. Did you want to go ahead, Lawrence?
No, I'll yield to Bev Van Guten, and then I could go after Beth, if that's okay.
Okay.
40 minutes.
How many minutes, Mansoor?
There's 40 minutes altogether.
Okay, that includes reports and discussion. So, Beth, you want to go ahead?
Yes, I'll read what I submitted this morning, and then I'll respond to Janine's question. Good question. finances at the national level are looking better than they are at KPFK in particular. I've attended all scheduled meetings of PNB committees on which I represent KPFK in the course of the last month, including regular PNB strategic planning committees, two regular finance committees, as well as four. One moment. I pulled up last month's report. One moment. Okay. In the course of the last month, I've attended all PNB meetings and the committee meetings in which I represent KPFK, including all meetings of the National Finance Committee, the Strategic Planning Committee, and all five Pacifica National Board meetings. Excuse me. Neither the fund, the National Fund Development Task Force, nor the National Technology Task Force met this month. I'm pleased to report that on the basis of steadily improving Pacifica financial prospects, a good review from our auditors, and the fact that Pacifica has been consistently current with all loan repayments, our outstanding FJC loan has now been extended by 18 months on essentially the same terms as the original loan, which is a huge relief. In addition, the National Finance Committee has approved budgets for KPFA and the Pacifica Radio Archives and has now taken on the task of creating a KPFK budget. NEDA will pick up that assignment and in time present a proposal to the National Finance Committee for approval. That committee is steadily working through budgets for each of the stations, and there are a couple more ahead of us. But it'll take a little time to prepare ours. So I'm pleased to report continued steady progress on catching up past Pacifica audits. Anita Sims and NEDA assures us that the last remaining previous audit will be completed by the end of this month. Work on the current audit will then begin to be completed on time by the end of June. This will be significantly improve our fiscal credibility and financial prospects. The National Strategic Planning Committee met twice this past month. I agreed to organize a National Emergency Preparedness Initiative and am at work organizing that project now. Others are developing several other prospective ideas. The National Technology Task Force has not met in the last month. The National Development Task Force has also not yet met, but shall soon. We're in communication, and at which time I will propose consideration of a set of fundraising policies from the National Association of Fundraising Professionals. That completes that immediate report. I wanted to respond to Janine's question. The 30% objective in reducing expenditures didn't apply to the entire network. It was specifically to KPFK because we're the station that effectively the problem child of the network, right? We're running the greatest deficits, and we have the largest staff. We're employing many more people than are employed at other stations, and the fact that others do it with many fewer than we have been employing suggests the possibility that we could too. And our bank statements suggest that it's absolutely imperative that we do. I would point out that KCRW recently cut 24 staff members at one whack, and we're not the only ones in this boat. The whole industry looks like it's realigning. I too understand the necessity to continue to further curb our expenses, and the most likely place to do that, the most reasonable place to do that, is staff, because that's our biggest expense. We're still negotiating about which particular staff and whether some might be prepared to leave voluntarily or under other terms. That's all closed session negotiations, so I can't get into the details. I hope that clarifies for you, Janine, for others who had that question. The 30%, it was specific to KPFK. It's not network-wide. Thank you, and I'm open to other questions, if any.
Chair, can I do my report now?
Well, thanks. Bella, please mute yourself.
Yeah, if you could take the questions and block, that would be...
Yeah. Yeah, we'll hear all four reports first.
Okay. So, first of all, I don't like the characterization that we are a problem child. We are not a problem child. We are a family. And as a result of being a family, when KPFK has been flushed, it's been able to aid the other stations in the network that have struggled. So I just want to remind everybody that we are one network and that we act as a family and we try to cover for each other and we help out each other in mutual aid when we have to. The FJC loan has been renegotiated. It's been extended for 18 months. That is a direct result of, as Beth mentioned, a good positive audit outcome, forecast, I should say, a good positive audit forecast. Where our 2019 audit, I am on the audit committee, the 2019 audit will be completed by the end of this month. And the new one is going to start, the 2020 audit is going to commence early. It's going to commence probably by the middle of June to the end of June. So that's a good thing. In regards to the 30% threshold, that is currently being negotiated, and I'll defer to Ali because he's a staff rep. I'll defer to him. All I can say is that it's likely to be put on hold for the moment because of the realities on the ground and the realities of our finances. There may be an improvement. There is a lot of good news that is happening. The national board is struggling in a positive way. I'm gonna go on to as a director of KPFK, I'm convening the Committee of Inclusion on Sunday, May 2nd at 3 p.m. and I do have a calling number and all of that. I could not convene the meeting that was scheduled for April 11th due to a medical situation that I had to attend to. As presiding chair of the PNB Governance Committee, the committee will be meeting April 28th, 8:30 p.m. Pacific Eastern Standard Time. And I attached to my report a PNB pass resolution from the Governance Committee, and that resolution is on communications, how to improve communications and how to engage in communication with our stakeholders, our listeners, and so forth. I reported on the PNB Audit Committee, the referendum, where there was a debate on the New Day Pacifica referendum, and the PNB voted after about an hour and 15 minutes of debate on the referendum, and the PNB voted overwhelmingly by 3/4 of the representation of the PNB, 16 votes, 4 yes and 1 abstaining. And I'm not going to say who voted how, whatever. That's for them to reveal their vote. But it was 3/4 in opposition to the bylaws referendum. So the PNB is, it's 3/4 representation. Is suggesting and encouraging people to vote no on the bylaws referendum, the New Day Pacifica bylaws referendum. And again, I call to your attention the attached motion on communication with members that's attached to my report. And in the labor of love, my name is Lawrence Frays, KPFA Listener PMB Director. And my contact information is appended to the to my report. And the IED and the chair of the board of the PMB, Ada Steinberg, did send out a communication via Pacifica in regards to more, I think it's called More Good News, and that was sent to the entire membership. So, oh, and then just to point out something in my colleague's best report, the PMB approved the WBAI budget and also the WPFW budget. I think we're still waiting on KPFA and KPFT, and KPFK is in the National Finance Committee. Thank you, Chair. That's it for me.
Bella, to the stack.
Well, we're going to take these all the four directors first. So there's Mr. Osborne and Mr. Alexa.
Okay.
Jim, did you want to give any further?
Who are you calling, Michael, Ali, or Jim?
Yeah. Well, go ahead, Jim. We'll hear the listener director first, and then Ali as the staff director.
Okay. So, yeah, the PNB, just before the deadline expired, reached an agreement with FJC to extend the $3.1 million loan. That's the good news. The bad news is that it's only for 18 months, and we don't have a repayment plan. So the PNB auditor's report, you know, is glass half full, glass half empty. The auditor report notes that while the PNB has implemented various financial policies and directives that they, quote, only appear to have the potential to have positive impacts to the foundation's financial condition in the future. So the PNB auditor's report went on to imply that Pacifica would not be in business today, but for Pacifica's assistance in the first and second rounds of the PPP program, which is part of the CARES Act. So in 2020, for example, Pacifica received about $1.25 million in the first round, which was forgiven in January of 2021. And in 2021, we received another $1.2 million. And of course, the hope is that that's forgiven. If it's not, it gets part of the debt. And just between the loan and the PPP, it would be up over $4 million. So as Mr. Reyes noted, the 19-20 audit is expected to be completed this week. The 2020 audit is still incomplete, but just in terms of not pointing fingers at anybody in particular at all, but just noting that, you know, these incomplete audits cost about $1 million per year because we lose CPB funding. Interestingly, I also found out that the PNB has hired a very expensive white-collar law firm based in Atlanta, Georgia, called Fisher Phillips, who specializes in union-busting tactics as their representative to negotiate with the employees of KPFK. So I think this should be of concern to the board. Obviously, the PNB feels like it needs legal representation to negotiate with the union, and that's all well and good. But do we need a white-collar firm? I don't know what they're charging per hour, but I can tell you from personal experience that when you hire white-collar big firms like this, you're probably looking at somewhere between $500 and $800 per hour for a partner. So this
Chair, point of order.
I didn't interrupt you, Mr. Reyes.
You crossed the line. You're talking about proprietary contractual potential hiring of a law firm.
No, I'm not.
And you are completely mistaken, Chair.
No, I'm not.
I moved that, Mr.
No, I'm not. And you're out.
Okay,
but
so
it is not a point of order.
Please refrain from disclosing proprietary information in regards to
please.
The hiring of a law firm.
All right, if both of you will just stop talking. I heard him say what generally those things are charged. It didn't seem to me he was talking about that particular firm. So,
well, he said that the firm was hired. This is news to me.
Okay. Well, who do you think is representing the PNB at the hearings with Ali? Ali's right here. Ask him.
The public statement.
This is not confidential information. This board and all the members have a right to know which law firms are representing this organization.
Negotiations are done in the executive session, Chair.
No, they're not. This is not. No.
Yes,
nobody's.
Okay, we're not. I'm sorry, Lawrence. We're not talking about the actual negotiations. The document that was sent out from the PNB said that a professional law firm was hired to work on the negotiations.
Okay. So.
Well, I object.
The point is,
okay.
I'm moving on to the next.
Mr. Osborne, and then we'll hear from Ali Alexa, please.
So at this point, you know, the PNB doesn't have a strategic plan to transform Pacifica into a viable network, and that's something that the board has indicated it would like to get to work on. So far, we don't have a plan to transform it into a viable network, and we don't have a plan to raise funds other than from what we've just discussed, including, you know, further fund drives. So, with respect to the 30% reduction in KPFK's expenses and funding, the problem that all of us have is that we can't get a solid bead on how on the economics from Lydia or the PNB. We don't know exactly what the salaries are. So when they cut somebody and they say, well, this is cutting 10% of the budget, we're not able as members to confirm what percentage of the budget is cut. So all of this is kind of being done by management, and the directors don't know the exact numbers and would not be provided access to the numbers. And yet, as Mr. Reyes and others have indicated, it looks like it's going to be pushed down the road. The decision, for example, to fire Roy and some other people, it looks like it's going to be negotiated.
Objection.
Okay, you
objection.
Can't talk about
that
at all, please. Yes, that is, excuse me.
That's where he goes.
I'm only indicating.
I'm sorry, you can't stop, Mr. Osborne. We're not talking about any personnel or particular individuals hiring or firing or anything else. So just end your report at this point. Let's hear from Mr. Alexa.
Chair, I have a request for information. Didn't the governance committee pass a special rule that if a director does not submit his or her report in writing, that the director forfeits the opportunity to give a report? I don't know if Mr. Osborne submitted a written report.
You know, Mr. Reyes is out of order.
This is not on the agenda.
Okay, Mr. Reyes's point is valid. We did say that all director's reports should be submitted in writing first.
24 hours, you said, and they weren't submitted 24 hours in advance.
Excuse me. The point is taken and was made. That's all. We heard the oral reports from the three listed directors. I want to proceed to Mr. Alexa as the staff director, and then we'll take questions from the LSB and from the public.
We are 27 minutes into this thing.
Okay, that means we have 12 minutes, 13 minutes more. Please proceed,
yeah.
Ali. Ali Alexa. Ali, you still on the call? Ali,
I'm still on the call.
Yourself.
Lydia?
Please unmute yourself. Ali Alexa, please unmute yourself and give a staff director report.
I heard you ask if anyone is still on the call. Alan
no,
Beek is still
Alan,
on the call.
Alan, please. I asked Ali Lexa to unmute himself and give a staff director report. I see him, but he's
Michael,
muted and he hasn't responded.
He says he cannot unmute himself. So,
okay, we'll just go on. And so I saw a number of hands up from.
And Michael, you're muted. Michael Novick, you're muted.
I won't say I'm muted for some reason. I'm sorry. I unmuted myself twice and it remuted itself. I saw a number of hands up from board members. I have, I think in this order, Paulina, Janine, Bella, and Eric.
Okay. Thank you, Michael. This is Paulina speaking. First, thank you, directors, for your reports. As for the information about the second PPP loan not having been forgiven, my understanding is that it has been. Please correct me if I'm wrong. I believe it has been. And there's really no reason why it wouldn't be. Now, as for Mr. Osborne mentioning that we are forfeiting $1 million a year as foundation on CPB funding because of our audits not being up to date. Well, there are several reasons why by the CPB wouldn't grant us funding, not least of which is the fact that KPFK doesn't have enough listeners to even be on CPB's radar, my friends. And that's one thing. So there are other things that need to be done. Then finally, I have a question about you know, there's just so many things that I'm just really concerned about what Mr. Osborne was presenting as facts, which are to me fiction. And I guess I'll yield. Thank you.
Okay, I see a hand up from Ali Lexa. Ali, can you unmute yourself? Because if so, please do so and give you a report as a director. I see his hand up, but he apparently still can't unmute himself. Go ahead, Janine, and then Bella and Eric.
Okay, thank you. I wanted to...
Oh, okay.
Hello?
Let Ali go. Yes, we hear you now, Ali. Please go ahead.
All right. Sorry, I'm in the middle of driving and having some issues. I didn't hear all of the back and forth between Director Osborne and Reyes. But I'm just going to give a brief report. Sorry I didn't have time to deliver one written. I just want to say that most of what was reported is correct, is what happened. I want to report to everyone that's listening that the PNB has received hundreds of emails in support of Roy Tuckman and Something Happening and Mansour Sabah and like I said, hundreds and hundreds of listeners writing sincere letters of support for the continuation of one of the top three shows at KPFK, one of the top three moneymakers. And I just want everyone to know that the National Board is listening and reading those letters of support. And if that's something that listeners want to do, please continue to do so. That's my report.
Sorry, thank you. Go ahead, Deb. We'll go back to Janine. Sorry, Jennifer.
Okay. I think that this now, it was a question for Lawrence Reyes, but it may actually be for both him and Mr. Osborne. You know, it was my impression that we were participating in the labor negotiations that our directors were. And so I'm wondering, one, if that status has changed. Is there still a director that is participating in it? Because, and then also, Lawrence, if you could be very specific, you said put on hold. Do you mean that the 30% reduction was put on hold or that the negotiations were put on hold?
And also my third question is whether our new interim GM is part of this negotiation as well. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Unless Mr. Osborne wants to go first, I'll give it to him.
I'd like to respond.
Go ahead. I'll go after you.
Yeah. Without revealing any confidential issues, I did want to point out that as far as staffing goes, KPFK has laid off or had resignations by 8 staff members already. Those are union and non-union positions. We've eliminated our 401A pension.
I'm sorry to interrupt. That's not my question, though. I'm sorry.
I'm going to get to it.
Okay.
Okay.
Just proceed, Ali, please.
So we've factored in a savings of $450,000. So we're exploring a few other possible voluntary layoffs or other issues that we might be able to look at. But we believe that the 30% reduction in expenses has been reached or is very close to being reached.
So what's been put on hold then?
That's a question for me because I let the cat out of the bag. So
well,
go ahead, Ali, if you want to address it.
Well, I believe what he's talking about, what got put on hold, was the specifics of who or how this final round of layoffs or reductions is going to occur. And as I said, we're investigating some alternate solutions. So if you want to say what's been put on hold could be interpreted as specific personnel that was that were up for layoffs. So that might have been put on hold as we explore some options.
Yeah, I would support that answer, Janine. But
please don't go into any more detail then.
I can't go into any more detail. I'll be crossing the line, Janine. I'm sorry.
Have we hit the 30%?
What I'm saying is that is still in negotiations. I can say that without crossing the line. So,
In the mail is false.
Janine, in regards to your other questions, I can answer. I don't know if the IGM is going to be part of the CBA negotiations. The IED is part of this, the negotiation with SAG-AFTRA. I can say that, but I don't know if the IGM is going to be added to that team. So I just don't know if that's the case. But I just want to go back real quick that the auditors provided a letter to FJC stating that a positive forecast is forthcoming where we may be able to get back on the radar in regards to CPB being able to apply for CPB funding. Because once we get our audits, and Mr. Osborne said 2020 audit will be done in April, is actually the 2019 audit, and the 2020 audit will commence in June. Thank you.
Okay, well, I thank you, but I would appreciate if the directors could get answers to the questions about whether our interim GM is going to take part in our labor negotiations on our behalf instead of our directors. I think that's an important question, and whether we actually have hit the 30% mark, as
okay, well, the directors
stated
are
in an email
the,
to all of us.
The directors are not part of the negotiating team. That's management, the IED, and the labor lawyer. I don't agree with that. As a labor person myself, I believe the directors that have labor background, negotiating background, should be part of those negotiations.
Okay, I'd like to see how we can make that happen.
Okay.
So, Janine, the problem that I have is that when you talk about 30%, you have to be able to talk, you have to know what your budget is. So if we say you owe 30% of $100, the $100 has to be identified. And a part of that $100 is the salaries of people. So when they talk about cutting or laying somebody off and you don't have the information as to those expenses or salaries and they won't give it to you, you end up having to take their word for the fact that you've arrived at 30%. So this is what creates the confusion, is that this information is withheld. And I'm not saying whether it's right or wrong. I'm just saying it's withheld. And we don't
know. Mr. Alcorn, thanks. You've made the point, and in the future, please ask for recognition before you speak. Thank you.
Well, Lena,
this is Harvey. This is Harvey. Can I jump in?
Okay, Mr. Wasserman, we'll put you on the stack. We have a lot of people before you from.
Thank you, but I can't raise my hand, so.
Timekeeper.
Okay, are you 7138? I didn't see where you were speaking from, Harvey. What are the last four digits of your number?
614.
Okay, got you. Okay, thank you. Fine. I'll put you on the stack. What's the time, Mansoor?
We have run out of time, and I had asked to be on stack a while ago. So.
Yeah, so I'd like to make a motion to extend time, Lawrence. 10 minutes.
Well, okay. Lena, second.
Is there any objection to extending the time in this discussion for 10 minutes? We still have a time certain for adjournment of 1:30, which is 26 minutes from now.
Mr. Chair, 2 o'clock.
Separate question.
We change it to 2 o'clock.
Mr. Chair, we voted
that's right,
for
we,
2
that's
o'clock.
That's right, 2 o'clock. I'm sorry, you're correct. 2 o'clock. Okay, fine. Motion on the floor is to extend this discussion for 10 minutes. Any objections? Okay, hearing none, we're extended. Next on the stack was Bill DeSoto, followed by Eric Jacobson, and then Mansoor and Harvey. And then we'll take public comment.
Okay, thank you. I want to address the area that Janine keeps coming back to, which is the 30%. When Director Lawrence Reyes spoke, he spoke of a 30%, and that's what confused the matter. KPFK has had a mandate, an edict from the PNB since June of 2020 to reduce its expenditures by 30%. Personnel has not been fully reduced to the extent that it should. The other expenses on the P&L have not as well. However, strides have been made. But now hearing this report that these union negotiations are being put on hold or whatever the time window is not good. It's not good for us because we cannot sustain these union contracts. It is that simple. Regardless, we cannot sustain them. And so, this is the struggle. The other thing is that a lot of funding has been taken out of the coffers of KPFK. That's another issue. But I am very concerned about this 30% because we're not going to make it with just a 30%. And if that is not being met, then we're nowhere. We need a much higher.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Jacobson.
Yes, thank you, Michael. I wanted to say a couple of quick points. First, in relation to Director Osborne, Jim, you mentioning that you're hitting a brick wall when it comes to information that puts the 30% in context, namely the way in which the personnel salaries there seems to be you seem to not be getting the kind of information you need to go about assessing this correctly. I would urge you to use your prerogative as a PNB director from KPFK to initiate a director's inspection that would cause you to be able to directly access that information. It seems to me that's part of your prerogative, and I strongly encourage you, either individually or in conjunction with your fellow PNB members, to use it. I also want to say something in relation to the objectives of the union negotiations, which is this. And this is something that our IGM, Mo Thomas, made passing reference to that I picked up on and concerned me. He seemed to possibly imply or maybe suggest outright that the goal of the negotiations is to renew the contracts that we have that have now expired with our current unions that represent at least a portion of the paid staff or all of it. It's not self-evident to me that Pacifica, being what it is, a super nonprofit and a charity and 501(c)(3), is appropriately a union shop. This is obviously a point of contention and debate. And Janine Roan has mentioned that there are alternate labor contract models in the entertainment industry that are much more spare than traditional labor contracts. That's another avenue of possibility. But if the goal to me should be to treat those employees who may very well end up having to be laid off completely fairly, to honor both legal and moral obligations to them, to have severances packages that, you know, are honorable and fair, that's one thing. But if the goal is further to have a renewal of expired labor contracts, that bears a lot of thought and discussion, because this is a very special period we're in Pacifica, given all the things that have been said about the changing landscape. And we should proceed with super caution to renew these contracts. Thank you.
All right. Mansoor, you're next, and then Harvey.
All right. Thank you. I just want to bring public comment. Yes, I want to bring a couple of points to everybody's attention that during the GM search that we were discussing qualification and all that, we were asking somebody to do a lot of good work, you know, bring in money, this and that. But when it comes to ourselves, you know, we walk away from those comments that we just made. You know, think we want the general manager to think outside of box. But when it comes to ourselves, we first thing we do, union busting. We lay people off. We don't think outside of box. So there's a disconnect between what we desire and what we practice ourselves. So hopefully we can mend that and maybe walk one line. And this type of austerity to prosperity, everybody knows it doesn't work. This is Milton Friedman's style of economics. And as long as we're thinking of cutting down and cutting down and cutting down, we're going to cut ourselves down to nothing and we'll vanish. Thank you.
Mr. Wasserman, then myself, and then we'll take public.
Okay, I want to agree with everything that was just said here. Why are we always talking about cutting 30%? Why aren't we talking about raising revenues 30%? The COVID is about to end, and we need to have a product that people are going to support. We cannot do that, by the way, if we're hiring a union-busting law firm. And I think we need to know what law firm is involved here. Pacifica is a progressive network. We have no business busting unions. We have no business hiring a union-busting firm, and that will only cost us money in the long run, not only in higher fees, but in the disgust of our listenership. We've been cutting, and nobody's talking about raising. In the meantime, we're getting rid of our most prosperous and profitable and popular programmers, which makes absolutely no sense. If you're gonna slash at the workforce, you're going to have no product. We have one of the biggest, if not the biggest, signals in Los Angeles, and we have a minuscule listenership. The problem we face is not too much salary for the good people who do the work at the station. It's because we haven't stepped out of the box and found new ways to raise funds. This old model doesn't work, and we have not presented a progressive and interesting and exciting programming to draw in the huge progressive community in Los Angeles that should be supporting KPFK. So we have a new era here with the end of COVID ending. I think we need to stop talking about cuts, stop beating up our staff, for God's sakes, and figure out how to bring in new revenue and new listenership. We have a gargantuan signal and a tiny listenership. That is the problem.
Timekeeper, a minute and a half left.
Yeah, I'm going to take the final minute and a half for my comments, and then we'll move to a public comment. So, there's obviously a disagreement here. I don't think that layoffs is the same as union busting. I'm a longtime union member. I was a shop steward. My father was a shop steward. My parents met in a union picket line. Sometimes layoffs are necessary, sometimes furloughs are necessary, sometimes cuts in hours might be necessary, which would be reimbursed by the state unemployment insurance fund. The fact is that KPFK has been caught in a whipsaw for quite some time of ever-increasing payroll and consultant fees and general expenses and steadily reduced income in terms of list of support. And that's been exacerbated by the pandemic, but it's not exclusive due to the pandemic. It is the case that if you look at the figures that were submitted by NETA, that none of the stations actually cover their expenses this year, apart from PPP funding. And the KPFK, unfortunately, has an outsized expenditure on staff compared to its current capacity to pay its own way. It's stiffed the rest of the foundation for all of this year and a good part of last year and going back several years before that when it did not pay its central services. So we have to live within our means. That's just the fact. If we want to keep our staff or support our staff, we have to figure out ways to raise the money, but we also have to economize. That's only the alternative is to go out of business because we can't make our payroll, and that's unacceptable. That would leave people with no jobs at all. So, I think that there have been some cuts made. The union agreed to eliminate a redundant pension program. That's good. There were significant cuts made in management. I want to remind people again that we did. I recommend that. I think that the management proceeded to chop from the top. The PD position was eliminated. The development director position was eliminated. The budget manager position was cut. And so those are significant cuts to the overall payroll. Some consultants were let go. Some people left. There was a senior producer that had a substantial position that was eliminated. There are other cuts being made, and maybe some other cuts have to be made. They're determining in negotiations how to make those cuts. You have to live within your means, or you go out of business. And we're not going to go out of business. We're going to persevere. We'll take public comment at this point. I see I had Sasha and Ruth were on the stack, and I see Andrew Weiss calling user 3 and someone whose number ends in 2384. Sasha, you want to go ahead?
Oh, thank you very much. Okay, well, I have been a listener since about 1987, and I can remember as clearly as we're talking now, that our annual operating budget at the time was $850,000 all inclusive per year. Okay, then between 1987 and 1995, this is about 7 or 8 years, somewhere along the way during the tenure of Mark Shub, we could maybe ask someone else who's been around working there much longer than I've been listening, is Terry Guy. How many staff members were on up till the point of 1987 when I started listening, and then how many were added during Mark Shub's tenure? Therein lies why the budget jumped to over $3 million per year from $850,000. I know the highest expense outside of the salaries were $50,000 for $5,000 a month for electricity for the transmitter on top of Mount Wilson. That's $60,000 a year. Let's say it even doubled to $120,000. That's still a drop in the bucket compared to the hyperinflation that's been added. You know, KPFK was damn good when I started listening, and more than tripling the expenses has not tripled the quality or the listenership. So, you know, if we look at the other stations, that's just one thing. Thank you.
I have additional people who want to join the stack, including Kim. So, Mansoor, can you keep people to about 90 seconds if you're still keeping time?
Michael, I want to let you know Mo Thomas has joined us. Are you listening?
Yes, I saw that, and I welcomed him. if he wants to speak, we'll give him a chance to later. Ruth Strauss, you're next. 90 seconds.
Okay, so you can tell me if this needs to be brought up at a different time. This is not on the current subject, but it happened this week. We were trying to seat people for, trying to do a vote for the finance chair committee. If you want me to send you the thread, I can.
Yeah, there's a motion about that. There's a motion about that later on the new business, Ruth. So we will be taking it up. Maybe you can comment then.
Okay. Do you know about what time that will be or no?
Well, we have a time certain of 2 o'clock and it's already 1:20. So it's the last item on our agenda, hopefully before 2.
Okay. Thank you.
Can you please let Ruth express herself? She's public comment.
Okay. Go ahead, Ruth, if you want to speak.
Okay. So in any case, the problem is that there are about 6 or 7 different rules that exist for seating people on the finance committee, you know, all the way from anybody who wants to, who attends 3 meetings to, no, it has to be voted for by members, LSB members who are seated on the committee, and then again having to be voted for by the whole LSB. So my point is, people who are on the LSB may not know me from Adam. And so I don't know, do I have to make a statement to try to get on the LSB? Not the LSB, on the finance committee. What if people don't know me? What if I have a contrary view to something and people don't want me on because of that? I mean, I'm just making hypotheticals. Something has to be done to make the rules for putting oneself on a committee or getting on a committee fair, equitable, and clear. As it stands right now, there are about 4 or 5 contradictory policies. If anybody wants to know, Terry Goodman did a fantastic job of outlining just how crazy it is. Thank you.
Andrew Weiss, then Colin Hughes, 3, and somebody ending in 2384, mm-hmm. followed by Kim Kaufman. 90 seconds.
Yes, this is Andrew Weiss. To our new interim general manager, Mr. Mo Thomas. As a listener, a longtime listener, we welcome you. I really appreciate the correspondence you sent to us. Very positive, very welcoming greetings. And also to you and to all the board, let's remember the listeners are the heart of the station. We fund the station. We tune into the station. The station is here to serve us. So as Mr. Harvey Wasserman said, let's think about how to increase and serve the membership. One of the best ways to do that to our new general manager would be to immediately come on the air for a dialogue with the listener, open up the phone lines, let us know what's going on, engage us so we can participate and let you know what we need and make this fund drive very successful. Same with the LSB. Please come on the air immediately for a dialogue with the listener. This has been passed by the PNB in the communications motions that each station should start doing this immediately. As well, lastly, we need to increase our programming to serve the local listeners. The strip programming that talks mostly about international affairs is not serving the local listeners. KPFA is a model where a lot of their programming is serving the local listeners, opening up the phones and programs to the local listeners, and they're exceeding their fund drives every fund drive. Let's do that at KPFK. Serve the local communities, involve them, open up the phone lines to the listeners, to the programmers, and they will step up and they will fund the station, they will volunteer, and they will spread the word. Thank you very much.
Thanks. Go ahead, Colin, user 3.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, thanks. Hi again, everyone. I wanted to say that I do not know what attorneys are being used, but knowing the politics of both the IED and Pacifica Council. I do not believe it's a, quote, union-busting firm, which we've had in Pacifica in previous times. But I will say that it's important that union negotiations be handled by skilled, knowledgeable people, as well as people who are well-intentioned. One staff person said to me that they've never had a contract, a long-term person said that they've never had a contract as good as when a particular interim executive director insisted on negotiating it themselves. They had no background, no skill, lots of ego, and gave away things that we're all probably still paying for. So the need to have people involved in that process who understand the immediate and long-term implications of what they're doing is crucial. That said, I know that we cannot cut our way to success, but I know that you cannot keep people on payroll if you cannot pay them. And while all stations need to increase the money that's coming in, it is unrealistic to declare, we're going to go raise money to pay people when you haven't raised that money in the past 2 years when it's been sorely needed. And the last thing I would say is that, you know, the insistence that people be able to work for free comes with a certain amount of arrogance, because not everyone from every community has hours and hours to just donate. So if it means that a cut made one place allows maybe for stipends to bring in folks who are otherwise underrepresented, I would hope that our thinking allows for that. Thank you.
Thanks. 2384, you're next.
Hi, Michael. This is Beth.
Oh,
I got disconnected.
Okay, sorry.
What about whether you want
comment?
All right, this is public comment, Beth. Sorry, I didn't realize that was you. I'll rename you.
So does that mean I didn't get to comment during the board time because I was stuck under, you know, miscategorized under public? So
I'll defer to Beth, but I'd like to speak.
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead. I'll speak after you.
If there's time left in public comment after all the public have spoken, then maybe we can reconsider.
Chair the meeting, please.
Yeah, the next person on the stack. Hang on, Beth. The next person on the stack that I had was Ken Kaufman, actually.
Hi, everyone. Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. First of all, I just came across some old documents. And back when Mark Staub was GM, KPFK had a 0.3 share. It can barely crack 0.1 now. And it's getting 0.1 because the listenership is so low, it doesn't go below 0.1. So back then, back in those days, there were a lot more listeners. So more revenue, whatever. The law firm, Fisher Phillips, it's not a secret. We've heard it, you know, in the finance committee for several months now, since there are all the expenses now getting paid on the P&Ls. Any of you can look on the P&Ls to see how much has been paid out. And Fisher Phillips represents management. That is what they do. They don't represent workers. So to say they're union busting, well, okay, they represent management and the interests of management. That's what they do. I want to remind everybody, KPFK ran a $700,000 operating deficit 2 years in a row. They had to borrow money to pay payroll. Some of that borrowed money still has not been paid out to one of the other units, okay? As for the 30% cut, this was a ridiculous magic wand waving motion from the get-go. In the finance committee, I asked Grace Aaron, who made the motion, 30% of what number? It's not even in the motion, okay? So you need to start there. And she said the expenses for 2019, which is okay with that. And I said, oh, does that include 30% cut to central services? And she said yes. Well, folks, that is not going to happen. So this motion doesn't even make sense from the get-go. But you can make 30% cuts of the 2019 expenses, but that still doesn't take into account the decreased revenue there currently is. Okay, so this motion, waving it around as some sort of realistic marker, is ridiculous. And Tim should definitely do a director's inspection and get the payroll so he can evaluate for himself those numbers. There's absolutely no reason why he shouldn't have them already, should he want them. Okay? And welcome to Mo. I think your numbers for the next fund drive are a little unrealistic, but good luck with that. And that's it. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Beth, why don't you go ahead since you didn't have a chance to speak when we had the LSB discussion, and then we'll wrap it up.
Thank you, Michael. Was there someone else on the public list?
You bet there was.
I'm sorry. Calling user 4?
Yes.
Is that?
My name is.
Okay, I'm sorry. You didn't raise your hand? Did you put something in the chat? I didn't see it. Go ahead.
Yes. I want to speak to the way LSB and PNB deal with what they call transparency. If you want to know what listeners think and what might improve listenership, ask and then listen. It's as if you've had to manipulate your agenda to have 4 or 5 of the same public people speak. Someone mentioned that Mo and Welcome should be in conversation with listeners, and that other management should be in consultation with listeners, including the LSB, but you're not. It isn't a question of how long. You're not doing that. I had to make an extraordinary effort just to figure out how I could participate, because you didn't post that information in a timely fashion. And finally, the good stuff is always shunted into executive session. It's as if that's your mask against COVID. And it's wrong. You're using it illegitimately. And it's just wrong. And we can't follow what the conversations are if we don't know what you're talking about. Finally, at the very least, when you post an agenda, post the information that goes with the agenda. But if you really don't want the public to participate, then just say so, and we'll go away in droves. Please be as transparent as you say you want everyone else to be. Thank you.
Thank you.
Here.
Beth, go ahead, and then we'll move the agenda.
Thank you. I wanted to agree that we need a specific dollar figure put to that 30% amount. We have never been given a specific objective target there. So without that, we have no way of knowing whether we've met it. And in my perception so far, it seems to me that target has been moving, which is less likely if we have a specific dollar figure. So I agree with that. Then I want to address the issue of leaked information, which is by its nature partial, and there's no way to verify it, because if it's being leaked, it's being leaked illegally, and therefore to address those issues openly in open session would also be illegal. And that brings us to part of my strategy in trying to address our financial shortcomings is to try to reduce our expenses, not just at the national level and strategically and specifically in terms of liability. Pacifica has extraordinary legal expenses relative to any other nonprofit I've ever been around. And I think it's partly because we have so many rules. They're way too complicated, too hard to comply with, and so people just do stuff. And so I've been working on that governance end of things to try to ratchet down our liability risks, also to address other policy issues like the National Association of Fundraising Professionals policies I intend to introduce. That's to increase our fiscal credibility and increase our likelihood of being eligible for grants. So is the effort for emergency response or emergency planning and preparedness. That would help qualify us for FEMA money, which would be on the order of the PPP money we've gotten now, and it's for capital investments and strategic planning long term. So it's just completely off the mark for anyone to say that we're not working on strategic plan, that we don't have a strategic plan, we're not working on a strategic plan. And specifically regarding the cuts at the local station here, I have heard a previous general manager quoted several times to me as saying that KPFK is, quote unquote, a jobs program for the left, which might help explain how our payroll got this big in the first place. And I think we have to get past that thinking and pare ourselves back down to what's functionally necessary for the station. And so I feel badly that we're not able to employ as many people as we have on staff right now, but that's the reality of the situation. You're not allowed to employ anybody you can't afford to pay, and we just flat out don't have that money. So there's more. I'm sure it'll come up later, but that's enough.
Yeah.
Thing. One last thing. In terms of fundraising and specifically from the board, I've had conversations with the previous GM about this, and I said, sure, we can do that. Like, I've had several projects in mind. We can do that as soon as we have accountability. Because if I'm going to go ask for people for money, I need to be able to tell them what happens to it. And if we don't get that kind of accountability from management, then we're stuck right at that point. So
thank
I'm
you.
Working on that, too.
Okay, thanks. Beth, thanks. Lawrence, you had your hand up?
Yeah, thank you, Chair. So I just want to impress upon the directors that if you're not getting information, requesting the information, you're not getting it. I've engaged in two directors inspections, and we were able to get information, financial information that was forthcoming for many years. In regards to the 30% cuts or that magic number, that pie in the sky that we're all trying to catch, you know, you could get that information, directors, at requesting the director's inspection. I know let me just finish, Michael. I got 30 seconds. You let my colleague go on forever. So I'm encouraging you to put in a request, put in an email, and there's 10 days that they have to respond. So, and I'll be more than willing to collaborate with you, even if I don't see eye to eye with you politically. Thank you.
All right, thanks. I just wanted to comment about one thing that was raised, which is the question of a dollar figure. The LSB Finance Committee last year did propose, and the LSB actually adopted a motion asking the management of the station to come up with a budget of $2.4 million in total expenses. And we felt that could be met based on $15,000 a day fund drives with six 21-day fund drives a year. And that was never carried out by management. And our current actual tally on fundraising seems to be closer to 12 than to 15. So given our fundraising capacity, the total expenses figure probably has to be less than $2.4 million to have a balanced budget. We are mandated to put forward, management is mandated to put forward a balanced budget for the station for the coming fiscal year. We're shortly going to be in the process of developing a budget for fiscal year 2022, which starts in October.
So usually that process starts about June. So the better detail we can have about our actual current finances now, obviously the better. And let's move it along. There's a request in the chat if Mr. Thomas, Thomas wants to speak. I did invite him to do so, but I haven't heard from him. Mo, did you want to say anything?
Here we go. How you doing?
Yeah, go ahead.
Good afternoon, everyone. I was out to lunch, and so I'm sorry I missed the top of the meeting. And I'm also sorry that I did not get to meet everybody this past week while I was at the station. We had a lot of great conversations. And let me just say for the record that every interaction was warm and welcoming and professional. In particular, the staff is just, I think, it's a real treasure. So I can't say enough nice things about my interactions with all of you that I did get to meet while I was in California. Second point I want to make is that I understand there's going to be a town hall meeting at some point down in May, and I'm hoping to be back to Los Angeles and be there in person for the town meeting. I assume it's going to be hybrid, a little bit of in-person, a little bit of virtual, but I would like very much to be there in person to meet the rest of you if at all possible. With regard to the budget, I know there's a shortfall. I apologize for the fund drive having to start so quickly, but I can tell you that it was absolutely economically imperative, and also to reconnect with our audience such that we can get out of this moment of crisis and get into a better relationship both with our audience and with our paid staff. And for the record, I do not endorse layoffs and cutoffs, but there are other more creative ways we can do to balance the budget. And it was my impression that the staff was willing to work cooperatively toward that end. With regard to programming, as you saw in my written communication, I expect to have a cooperative agreement or cooperative work with the programmers and the staff. And if collectively they feel that we should make changes to the schedule or make improvements to the schedule in order to draw more audience, we certainly will. It is absolutely not necessary for us to sound like some sort of an NPR clone. I mean, I have the greatest respect for the folks over at NPR and they do their thing, but that's not our thing. But I do believe it's possible for us to have a listenable, marketable product that speaks to the progressive agenda and the kind of issues that we, I believe we all endorse, positions we all endorse, and put those on the air and make them listenable and attractive. I don't want to take up a whole lot of time except to say thank you. You've all made me feel welcome. And I expect to have more written communications and email in the future to keep you all posted and informed. My door is open, and we're hoping to meet more of you the next time I get out there. Thank you.
Mr. Chair,
thanks.
Mr. Chair, this is Bella. May I be recognized?
Yeah.
Thank you. Hi, Mo. This is Bella DeSoto. We met at the Finance Committee. Thank you so much for attending both. It would be good. I will send you the link to this meeting. It would serve you grandiously for you to listen to the qualities, the attributes that we are looking for, general manager, which should give you some guidance as to what we need now, getting the ball rolling. I wanted to point out that the 650 mark for the goal of this coming fund drive on the 20th is maybe unrealistic at this stage, in that there's too many repeated programming on, and that is one reason why we have lost so many members, members and listeners. So it would do you good to listen to the link of today's audio recording after it's posted at kpftx.org. And
yes, I'd be very interested in hearing that.
And the outreach town hall will be virtual. However, I was hoping that we can collaborate because we need cards to promote it on air, leading to the date set, which is the 22nd, Saturday the 22nd at 3 p.m. The last time we held one virtual, our first one, was November last year. It was quite successful in the amount of people that joined in for the first time, close to 60. We did have some technical issues, so that will not be repeated. But I feel that it was successful. We got a great list from there, people still connected. And so that's what brings membership and listenership to the station. And it was also advised before you came on that we need to have the dialogue with the listeners on a regular basis, at least once or twice a month. And a motion was recently passed at the PMB to that effect. I hope you got the language. If not, I'll send it to you. Anyway, we'll be in touch. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. I think I indicated in my communication that we needed to have more dialogue and more interaction with our audience on the air. And I think that's a good thing to do. It's up to the talent, skill, and diplomacy of the host to maintain order on the air. But it's something we can do.
Great.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Mo. Thanks, Bella. Yeah, the PNB motion does call for a monthly report to the listener with the call-ins by the GM, and to have a monthly report also from the local station board at all five stations, with the same thing, with at least half the time devoted to calls from listeners. I did want to raise in relation to...
Michael, I have my hand up.
Okay, thank you, Lawrence. I see it. I wanted to raise in relation to the town hall, which the LSB has mandated to hold two town halls a year. We set the date for after what we anticipated would be the end of the fund drive, so that's why it was May 22nd. And there was interest, and there has been interest in the past, and actually having that on the air as well as virtual. So something to think about. Go ahead, Mr. Reyes, and then I see Mr. Osborne.
Thank you. One of my colleagues, Harvey Wasserman, was mentioning that we're losing audience. And yes, we are, but I think what's not being talked about, Mo, is the fact is that at one point we had 48,000 members at KPFK, and now we're barely hovering over 9,000 to 10,000 listeners, subscribed listeners. So the bottom line is that it's programming. It's in the programming. It's in the programming. That's our product, right? Our product is to put programming out that would capture the interest of our listeners, because we need to bring them back. They've been driven away as a result of no collaboration between listeners who are the stakeholders of our station and management and programming. So I hope that you would consider taking a look at that as well, because...
Okay, Lawrence, we have 15 minutes left in the meeting.
All right, well, Michael, excuse me. Why you keep cutting me off, yo?
I cut you off because I have other hands and we have other business. And,
right, well, I'm not summing up? I mean, you're going on forever. And that's the part.
It's not a matter of summing up at this point.
I was asked to try to chair
this meeting to complete our business. I have Mr. Osborne's hand up, and we have a lot of business to conclude.
Well, you
There's
just cut me off, Michael.
Minutes.
I don't
appreciate
it.
I call for order to the day.
I'm sorry. We're moving on. Mr. Osborne is next.
Thank you. I'd like to know whether you can advise the board at your earliest convenience. Can you get involved with Ali Lexa and the interim Lydia director and find out and track the employment negotiation issue? And just so that we have another person there who's tracking this issue.
Mr. Chair?
Sorry, Bella. You're not recognized.
This was out of order.
You're not. Yes, nothing is in order at the moment. Mr. Osborne asked this question, and we're moving on. It was a call for the orders of the day, which is the next agenda item.
You need to let Lydia back in.
Beck, I can tell you quickly, yes, I am engaged with the union negotiations, and I have offered input, and I expect to be present virtually for the next negotiation session.
Okay, thanks, Mo. Janine, what's the next agenda item, please? Janine, you muted yourself. What's the next agenda item?
It's the committee, LSB committee meetings.
Okay, so I'm going to say that we did the outreach committee because that was about the town hall. And so there is a town hall set for the 22nd of May, it's Saturday. We're hoping that it could be aired on the radio as well as with a virtual channel. Other committees, governance committee had a motion. Is that in the agenda? I don't recall.
Yes, it is. I can read it now if you like.
Please do.
Motion from the Governance Committee move that the LSB schedule a special meeting for May 2nd, 2021 at 10:30 a.m. Pacific Standard Time to consider and vote on the new Day Pacifica bylaws revision.
Yes, yeah, so to motivate that briefly, the PNB has already voted on the bylaws revision proposed by New Day with a listener petition, and we have to act by May 17th. Our next meeting is May 16th, but I think that it's going to be a lengthy discussion. We have a lot of other business, so we're proposing a special meeting on May 2nd that would be devoted only to that question and give ample time for members to voice their opinions and to take public comment. Mr. Jacobson, I see your hand up. You have to unmute yourself.
I wanted to make a brief addendum to the audit committee report. It's not on the topic you just raised, Michael. If you want to give me 30 seconds at some point before we end, I want to make one pertinent point.
Sorry, make it quickly because we really left that agenda item.
Only to say that the report is accurate insofar as it pertains to the 2019 audit being targeted, strongly targeted, and almost promised for completion by the end of this month. Then work begins, it has already informally began on the 2020 audit with a aspirational finishing date of the end of June. However, just to sum it up, there is some wiggle room there, and the more absolutely definitive promise we've gotten from the auditors is that by quote-unquote, well, forget quote-unquote, that in the, under no circumstances will the fall come around without the 2020 audit being completed.
Okay,
just a little addendum. And it could be that the original forecast is correct as well. We shall see. Thank you.
Okay, so are there objections to a special meeting on May 2nd?
Jan Goodman.
Go ahead, Jan.
So is May 16th Father's Day?
May
9th. Always come up with this.
May 9th is Mother's Day, Jan.
Okay. So I just want to make sure that we're not competing with that. I would make a motion to have the New Day discussion at the meeting on May 16th. It's in time for the deadline, and why don't we just be efficient and have the meeting at the same time, take care of our other business, have the New Day discussion then, and not end up using up another good part of a day for the LSB. I think that people can make their points. We did, I think, an excellent job.
We did an excellent job today.
Excuse me, Mr. Chair. Excuse me. I'm talking.
Please wrap up your comments, Jan. I take it you're making a substitute motion.
to the one from the government.
Yeah, I move that we have it on the same day, that we set it for an hour as we did today, with 2 minutes for everybody to comment and make a vote and have the vote.
I object, Lawrence.
Okay, I object.
I heard the objections. First, I need a second, because the motion came from a committee. That's the motion on the floor. It's from May 2nd.
Second, Magdala.
Bella, you can't object and second.
If
you're
objecting
to Jan's motion, don't second
it. The committee motion does not need to be second.
Yes, I understand that, but Jan's motion does.
Right.
Is there a second?
I second.
Okay, so that's on the floor. I heard objections. Do we need further discussion? I know there were many requests to actually take up this question at this meeting, because other boards have already done so. We did not. Governance felt like we should have a special meeting to do it.
Mr. Chair, Paulina with a point of order.
Go ahead, Paulina.
I would really appreciate it if whenever
you're breaking up, Paulina. You have bandwidth problems, Paulina. We can't hear you.
Identify themselves by the. Oh, I am. Okay. Well, in that case, am I still breaking up?
No, not now.
Yeah. Okay. Fine.
Go ahead.
Chair, can we extend the meeting? We're getting close.
Yes, we're almost at 2.
Okay. Well, all right.
Motion to extend by 10.
Motion for how much time? Beth, is that a motion to extend? And if so, by how much?
I'd like to amend it to until we get through the motion that's in new business.
Paulina, second.
Janine. Second, Janine.
Okay, but I still need a time.
Until we finish.
Until we get through the motion of new business.
Chair.
And how many items are there?
Can we go to the roll call, please? Roll vote.
Chair, Mansour would like to be recognized.
Okay. The motion, Janine, is to extend until we finish the entire agenda. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. And there was a second for that?
Yes, Bella.
All right. So we're setting this other question aside for a moment, Jan. We're going to deal with the extending of the meeting. Go ahead, Mansour.
Yes. Since we have a time certain to bring this meeting to an end, to extend time, it requires 2/3.
Yes, thank you.
Can we go to the roll call?
Michael Adler?
Excuse me. I'm the chair. Before we take the roll, are there objections to extending the meeting until we complete the agenda?
Yes, I object.
Yes.
Okay, I heard the objections. Take the roll. Go ahead, Janine.
Michael Adler?
No.
Alan Beek?
What is the motion?
To extend the meeting until we complete the agenda.
Yes, I vote yes.
Fred Blair?
Pass.
Bella DeSoto?
Yes.
Jan Goodman?
Pass.
Eric C. Jacobson?
Yes.
Avelia Jones?
No.
Ali Lexa?
No.
Barbara Marbach?
No.
James Osborne?
No.
Robert Payne? He might be in the
Payne
chat.
He says do not extend.
So that's a no. Lydia Ponce?
Yes.
Lawrence Reyes?
Yes.
Rocio Rivas?
I will say yes.
I'm a yes. Janine Roan, Mansoor Sabah?
No.
Oscar Ulloa?
Yes.
Polina Vasiliev?
Yes.
Beth Van Guten?
Yes.
Fred Blair?
Yes.
And
I'm sorry,
we have,
Janine, did you have Harvey? Harvey joining
oh,
in.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, you know what? I don't have Harvey as attending because...
Well, correct your attendance because he was on the call and he spoke.
He was on the call for one question.
He was on the call and waited to speak. He, I don't know if he's present now, but he should
no,
be...
No, he's not present now.
Okay, that's fine, but he should be marked
he
as
He came
attendant.
On for one comment.
That's right.
He was
Lawrence
present
Reyes.
For that part of the meeting.
Lawrence Reyes?
Yes.
Are you a pass?
No, he said yes.
Secretary, I said yes.
Okay. Chair, we have 11 yeses and 8 noes.
Wait a minute.
Jan.
Total of 19. Wait a minute. Jan Goodman passed, and Jan Goodman votes no.
Okay, I put no in. I understood your answer to be no.
What does pass sound like? No?
Well, it's a garbled. It just was garbled, I guess.
It's okay. Chair, please.
Chair votes yes. Can you give us a tally of who voted how so everybody's clear?
Okay, Michael Adler was a no. Alan Beek, yes. Fred Blair, yes. Bella DeSoto, yes. Jan Goodman, no. Eric C. Jacobson, yes. Avelia Jones, no. Ali Lexa, no. Barbara Marbach, no. Michael Novick, yes. James Osborne, no. Robert Payne, no. Lydia Ponce, yes. Lawrence, yes. Rocio, yes. Janine Roan, yes. Mansoor Sabah, no. Oscar Ulloa, yes. Polina, yes. Beth Van Guten, yes.
And is that the required two-thirds?
Out of 20, we have 12.
Okay, so that's not two-thirds.
Weren't there a couple of people who passed?
The person who passed was Jan, who said that her vote was recorded. It was no, and it was recorded as no.
And Lawrence passed, but then he said yes.
Chair.
Okay, it's still not two-thirds. We're at time. We're going to vote on Jan's motion, and then we're going to vote if that's adopted as the main motion. Otherwise, we'll vote on the main motion. We have to complete our business that's pending, and that's it. So the first roll will be on Jan's motion to schedule the
Chair.
Discussion. Let me finish my sentence, please.
Well, I want to make sure... I don't think people realize the motion that is in new business affects something very that I haven't even been able to talk about. And now we're going to go without it because nobody understands.
I'm sorry. It was raised by Ruth Strauss in public comment. It's the reference.
No. It needs to come out of this committee.
Excuse me, Bella. Please do not speak. We are out of time. The only thing we can now do is vote on what is on the floor. What is on the floor is the original motion from governance, but an amendment from Jan. We're going to vote on Jan's amendment to schedule the discussion and vote on the New Day bylaws at our regular meeting on May 16th. If that passes, that becomes the main motion. And if it fails, we'll vote on the main motion to schedule a special meeting on May 2nd. Please call the roll on Jan's amendment.
Michael Adler?
Yes.
Alan Beek?
Can't hear you, Alan.
Did I get called?
Yes, it's whether to have the vote on the New Day bylaws revision at our May 16th meeting or not.
I vote yes.
For the second. No.
I vote yes.
Bella, I will mute you unless you mute yourself. This is an amendment.
Fred Blair.
Vote at May 16th.
What is the amendment we're voting on? What is the amendment we're voting on?
The amendment we're voting on is to have the vote on the New Day bylaws on May 16th. That's an amendment to a motion to have a special meeting on May 2nd.
So we have, so we don't have an extra meeting.
Oh,
right.
Yes.
The governance motion was to have a special meeting on May 2nd. The amendment is to take it up on May 16th. We're voting on the amendment.
Ella DeSoto.
I vote for May 2nd.
That's a no.
So that's no. Jan Goodman?
Yes.
Janine? Fred votes yes.
Yes.
Janine, Fred votes yes.
I heard you. Yes, thank you, Fred. Eric C. Jacobson?
Eric, you're muted.
I don't think we called for discussion on this either, but
Sorry, guys, I was muted. I vote no. Keep it on May 2nd.
Avelia Jones, thank you.
Yes, for the 16th, please.
Thank you. Ali Lexa?
Yes.
Thank you. Barbara Marbach?
Yes.
Thank you. James Osborne?
Yes.
Thank you. Robert Payne?
He voted yes in the chat.
Yeah, in the chat he says.
Thank
16.
You. Lydia Ponce?
I think she had to leave the call or two.
Okay, I don't know whether. I didn't hear that, but does anyone want to let her know we're voting?
She put in the chat she had to leave it too.
Okay. Lawrence Reyes?
No.
Thank you. Rocio Rivas?
I vote no.
I'm a no. Janine Roan, Mansoor Sabah.
Pass.
Oscar Ulloa?
No.
Thank you. Paulina Vasilius?
No.
Thank you. Beth Van Guten?
No.
Thank you. Going back to Lydia is still not here. Then we have Mansoor.
I vote yes.
Janine, Fred would like to change his vote.
Yes.
I'd like to change it to no.
Okay.
From yes to no.
Okay, thank you. So we have a tie.
Chair votes no.
We have
no.
A tie, chair.
The chair votes no, although
okay,
the tie also
so,
defeats it. So I'm sorry, we're just moving to the main motion, which was a special meeting on May 2nd. Since the amendment was defeated, I take it that we'll have that special meeting?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
It was not defeated, right?
The amendment was defeated, Bella. Bella, please don't interrupt. The amendment was defeated. We went to the main motion. Since the amendment was defeated, I take it that the main motion will be in effect. I don't want
to
have to go through
that. That's what I said. Yeah, okay.
Okay, so we're going to stand adjourned because we're out of time. We expired our termination point.
Chair.
Yeah, we still have a closed session meeting.
Okay.
Hang on a second, Lawrence. So if the people who are not members of the LSB would please leave the call at this point, we'll just stay on the line. What's your point of information, Lawrence?
That was it.
Okay.
Okay, aloha. Thank you very much, everybody.
Folks, Paulina
here with request for information before we adjourn.
What's your question, Paulina? Go ahead.
We usually give 30 minutes of public comments, and I believe we only did 20.
Yes, you're correct. I'm sorry. That is a correct point of order, actually, not a point of information. If there's Are there any final public comments anybody wants to make? Because we are mandated to have 30 minutes, and we did not have 30. We only had 20.
I would
Well, we actually went over on both, but that's just so you know. We really only need another six.
Okay, thank you. Public comment?
Four minutes more.
Go ahead, Sasha.
Yeah, so just some ideas that float around in my mind. I just want to float them out into the conversation. Somebody did mention, and I was thinking the exact same thought before they even mentioned it, about stipends. You know, I think, yes, there's some programming that I would love to see continue, even though it's maybe not even necessary that it requires paid staff programmers. But like Roy Tuckman's show, for instance, and, you know, he's had a long run, over 43 years. And he might be happy to retire anyway, but it would be great to see his shows continue for, as an example, not only him, but, you know, the good quality programs. He's created an institution. I just think that as far as paid staffers, I mean, if we could go back to the level of number of people that in the 80s, when there were maybe 15 people or 12, I think there were a dozen people basically for many years on staff at KPFK. And that's about the typical number for the other stations. You know, we might find that that's what we need. And then as far as people that want to volunteer, when I was volunteering in 1995 for a few months, like Monday afternoons, I was really having hard times because I didn't have a steady income. And I was just kind of like begging, like, can I get any money, like $10 for gasoline to get to the station just to do a program, just to do a volunteer shift for a few hours? And it was like, sorry, we don't do that, you know? And it's like, so, but they've got like all these people on salaries with union benefits and everything. You know, that's great for multi-billion dollar corporations to have unions representing employees that, you know, on huge capitalist enterprises. You know, it'd be great if we could ever reach that point. But right now we're a 501c3 nonprofit operating on a shoestring. And, you know, if we could have volunteers coming in, you know, it could be like a daily allowance for X number of volunteers on a stipend. Maybe they get $40, $50 a day for coming in and putting in as many hours as they can to produce shows. And it's like, it can be totally rotatable, you know, 24-hour basis, could have so many people volunteering every day, and we can know the limit of the budget for volunteers, and there wouldn't have to be, insurance benefits, et cetera. You know, it could be non-employment volunteers getting stipends, and that could be a way of avoiding all this problems of, we can't talk about personnel issues because they're employees under the state of California laws. We can't talk about how much money they make. Well, then eliminate that problem by just saying, you know, we don't need employees. We can run on volunteers with stipends, and then people will always bring fresh energy every day. It won't be like, I've got to protect my job, I've got to keep my place, I've got to protect this income. You know, it's like, it could be such a dynamic flow of big energy flowing into the station every day, producing like a factory that, you know, like artisan craft, we're producing programming, we're engaging not just the listeners, but we're bringing the community, the population into our realm. You know, we're inclusive.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Time's up for that comment.
Thank you very much.
Anybody else have public comment? I don't see any further hands. So, again, if you're here as a member of the public, please leave the call, or maybe Janine can take people off, and we'll restrict it at this point to LSB members for the closed session.
Mr. Chair, Michael, this is Bella. Yeah, I just wanted to comment as to what Sasha said. KPFK.
No, thank you. We don't. Excuse me. No, we haven't have a practice. We don't respond to public comment during the meeting and the meeting.
But this is
meeting.
Just a comment.
Adjourn. Move to adjourn.
We have
Michael.
Adjourned.
Michael, this is Eric. Can you save the chat? Make sure the chat is saved.
for the archive.
We're not actually, it's still a current meeting.
Okay.
Again, I'll repeat, non-members of the LSB, please leave the call. LSB members, stay on the call, and we'll reconvene as a closed session in a minute. We still have 27 participants, so that's more than the LSB.
I'm removing them. Just give me a minute.
Okay,
I'm going
thank
one
you.
By one.
Michael, Fred here. You want me to cut the stream now?
Yes, cut the stream. Thank you.